Hello. This is a recording of human voices.
Speak for yourself.
Oh no, it's one of those f***ing robots.
I bet it's that
damn Jeopardy robot. Damn Jeopardy robot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is WTF at TFW. We are here on this lovely March the 4th of 2011. This is episode 137. I am joined by Gog Dog.
Hey, Christopher. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm well.
Good. Hey, Seth Buzzard, you're here too.
Yeah, you guys broke character and used your real name.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You broke K-Fab.
I'm gonna break character for you, and instead of calling you Seth, I'm gonna call you Seth.
Coach.
Oh no!
I don't know what we're doing anymore.
My nom de plume.
We also have another guest here, returning after a long absence of 6 days. No, 7 days now, actually, because he had us move this recording to Friday just for him. Is Mr. @ Derek J. Wyatt of twitter.com.
Hashtag Tiger Blood, guys.
Winning. Isn't it 9 days? Or isn't it actually 8 days?
I don't know. It's a long time.
Because Thursday to Thursday would be 7. Today's Friday, so it would be 8.
Your mathematics are astounding me.
Well, we use American measurements instead of metric.
Okay. If we're going imperial, then yeah, it's 8 imperial days. 5 tonnes.
By the queen.
So we're here to talk to you today about Transformers.
We call it democracy here, not imperial.
We're here to democratically.
We all have to speak like Beast Wars Rampage or Inferno. I'm sorry.
I hate communists. What, you know what I hate?
Freedom inches.
Communists.
Well, according to a lot of people, I am a petty dictator. So
how
I'm just going to go with that.
I'm ashamed to be... Anyway, we're going
he rules his universe with an iron fist.
That's right. And there shall be no Autobot with red eyes. Oh, anyway.
Is Primus animated?
What are we talking about again?
We're talking about Transformers. And we're going to start off with a very Derek J. Wyatt-centric topic.
Oh, I thought for a second you were going to say a very Derek J. Wyatt Christmas, and I got really excited.
Derek J. Wyatt, do you know what's under your tree tonight?
I've always wanted my own Christmas special.
Did you even know there was a tree in your living room? Go check. We set, while you were out here, we set everything up. No, we're going to talk about Cheetor. Although, I solicited Twitter for some questions to cover after we talk about Cheetor. I said, if you could ask Derek Wyatt something, like, right now, what would you ask him? So this
Oh, you know them.
No, this is what I asked.
Good. I don't know what I want to ask myself. Let me think about that for a minute.
What am I thinking?
Why is this place such a mess? Oh.
So today they actually not today. Was it today or was it yesterday? I forgot now. It was yesterday.
Revealed
I'm so confused because we didn't record something yesterday due to a gag order. But Animated Cheetor. Transformers Collectors Club.
Vangelis would make a horrible Time Lord because he cannot keep track of anything shifted out of its normal time frame.
You're like, what happened to time travel? So Cheetor, the club exclusive figure. We got a reveal of, I'm guessing, a physical copy of the toy with its head and its assortment of spots. And I wish that they'd posted a picture of the wax head sculpt like they did for Motormaster, because this one's also from a slight distance where I'm having trouble seeing stuff.
Yeah.
So it is animated blur with spots. And this is the thing that I looked for immediately after seeing that image. Is I immediately went and looked, and I was like, so are the spots hexagonal or are they not? And then I couldn't tell.
They sort of look like they're pill-shaped, like Tic Tacs or something.
It's like there's some that look vaguely hexagonal, But then the ones on the hood totally don't look hexagonal. Well,
no, I have a clarification about the hood spots.
Ah.
There will be an in-universe reason for why he has those kind of that organic pattern.
Excellent.
It all will be revealed.
In time, under my iron fist. So, this is going to be for sale in a couple months, month or two. Not sure when they're going to put it up, but this one and I believe it was, G2 Ramjet? Ramjet? Was it Ramjet?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, G2 Ramjet are going to be the club exclusives. So, let's have some discussion about it with the guy right in the room, just like we did last week with Motormaster. Gog, your thoughts on Animated Cheetor?
Well, I'm getting it, for one. I want to get that out of the way.
Yeah, me too.
I like it. I like the concept. I like the everything leading up to the design of this character and what Derek has told us previously about it when he was on back in November. I will say that I don't think the head necessarily turned out as well as the Stunticons. And I'm hoping that maybe it's just a bad angle, for sure, because I don't think that it's as flattering as some of the better pictures we saw of those guys. But somebody did a Photoshop, and again, it might just be the angle, but they moved the eyes a little more forward, and I thought it made a really good difference proportion-wise on the face. But I have to say, going off of Derek's concept art that he posted before with the hexagon spots, both in the vehicle mode and the robot mode, I do prefer that, especially knowing that he had a purpose for designing it that way. But overall, though, I like it for the most part. But again, I want to see more angles of the head, and eventually I'm going to see it in person. But and so I hope it looks better in hand than I think that picture is representing it.
Hmm. And Seth, how are you taking the Cheetor?
Well, I just zoomed in on the picture, and what I thought were the eyes before, I guess, aren't the eyes, like the green triangles, or are those the eyes?
I think those are the eyes.
Yeah, those are the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, because it almost looks like the sort of shape. Yeah, because, yeah, now I remember the artwork. Yeah, it does look like they're way far back. But, I don't know. Maybe the head's just not sitting on the neck right. But something about the fiction involving Animated Cheetor here. Was he always meant to be high on Charlie Sheen, or is that something that has been established recently based on at BotCon's tweets today?
Animated Cheetor voiced by Charlie Sheen. Cheetah Blood.
Yes.
Hashtag Cheetah Blood.
Pay him $1 million per episode.
I gotta tweet that right now.
Winning.
Live Twitter.
Animated Cheetor is always winning.
Even when he's unemployed winner.
He's deploying his ordnance to the ground.
I am into the concept, but like Gog, the head, I got to see more of it. That's why I was really hoping that they'd post a wax. I actually really like the idea of posting the wax sculpt for the head with these reveals.
Yeah, that's a great, and I got to see some angles of Motormaster that I hadn't even seen myself, and that's just like, you know, I always love seeing those steps, you know, in the process, and it's just cool to see the raw sculpt like that. That was awesome. Oh yeah, that was my idea too. But
yeah, whoever cool. thought of that? Promotion. Right now. I think it would really help me out with this one, because also when I looked at it, I think I also was riding on such a high from how I thought that the Stunticon head sculpts turned out so marvelously, and this one didn't turn out poorly, but this one feels a lot like the one that was done before the Stunticons, and I was curious if this one was sculpted up simultaneously or before or after.
I think they were done in relatively the same span of time. I think they did them all at the same time. I'm not sure. Like the neck, I wonder if you can if it's I can't remember. I don't have Blur near me, but he's, I mean, his head is on a ball joint, right? So
yeah.
It looks like if they just pushed it, you know, the head back so the chin was out a little bit, stuck out farther, it would look more like the model. The eyes too, I don't know, like, I can see what people are saying. They look like they're far back, but, or farther back than the drawing, because the drawing, I was looking at it, you know, looking at it, and the eyes do come up right to the bridge of the nose in the turnaround.
Yeah.
But, I haven't seen, like, I haven't talked to the guys either about Cheetor. I've been really busy this week. So, you know, I don't know if that's if it's one of those doctored photos either. If it's
After the Motormaster thing, where they mentioned that it looked a little strange because it was digitally remastered from having a giant X in the middle of the face.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, if that happens again, just tell us. And you know, if I know it's not the best business term, but I think the full transparency with Motormaster really helped Motormaster out. In people, you know, getting a more informed opinion on it. So with Cheetor, honestly, with any new head sculpt they do, I would love it if they could post the wax sculpt, or at least, you know, a resin sculpt or something up close and unpainted, just so we can get a feel for the contours and a feel for how the sculpt was done. It would help us out a lot, because the Stunticons were so on model in what we've seen that it would seem strange to me if Cheetor had any really notable variations, unless there was just some kind of learning curve thing. I'm curious.
I'm not really sure with that one. And I don't want to judge it on that picture either. You know, I want to have it in my hand before I judge it, because there was a lot of it seems like that one, it did, like, it changed the most in color and everything from my concept.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it looked pretty decent. I mean, I do want to see what the head looks like in person. But
yeah, I mean, I didn't think there's anything
without getting too.
Or we all started.
I was just say, I mean, without getting into the fiction or anything, are you satisfied with the reasons why they gave him the organic spots versus the concept? Because I know, like you had said last time you were on, how you weren't sure if the spots were going to be final or not. Now that we've seen this, it appears that it really hasn't changed since that Photoshop prototype picture we got back in November. And I just wondered what your thoughts were on the whole spots thing, or if you're satisfied with the reasons and that were given or whatever, with as far as that goes.
I mean, it's a good explanation in the fiction. And I don't know, like, you know, honestly, I would probably rather just have the geometric spots, because I was really in love with that idea ever since the Tigatron USB transformer,
because
it had like the really rigid stripes, but they were, you know, they kind of look like a circuitry pattern almost. It was, I thought that was really cool, you know, and a great explanation for you know, why a Cybertronian mode character would have stripes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that the reason the organic spots are there is fine, and it does, you know, it definitely adds something too to the car mode. I guess it's not as plain.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, it makes the car mode look a lot less like a yellow blur.
Yeah,
because you know, it breaks stuff up. It visually having. I think what helps the most with the ones on the chest is that they run slightly up the sides of the hood. That way, they don't just feel kind of like their spots. It's like there's still a bit of a.
Yeah.
Even the ones actually running on the side of the doors kind of taper as well, and I think that effect really helps the spots come across a lot better than if they were just, you know, thrown on.
So yeah, I'm more fine, I think, with the organic spots in the car mode than I'm not I don't know about the ones.
Yeah, I was.
I can't tell.
Waiting for small.
I just want to see. Yeah, I want to see what it. And you know, part of me is always thinking, well, you know, I put them in groups of threes on the model. That's because that's how, you know, that would be like the maximum to animate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have them like five and six or something. So it's like, well, I couldn't really do that as well on the cartoon, I don't think. But I don't know. You know, it's I like the colors overall, and I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm overall certainly not coming down on the whole thing. Like I said, I'm going to pick it up. I think it works enough. I was very much in favor of a lot of the stuff in your concept art, like the geometric spots. I thought it was a great way to legitimize the look of it on a robot who turns into a car and not a cheetah. And I'm looking forward to the explanation for the ones on the car mode. Is that going to be, I don't know if you can say, is that going to be in the bio or is that going to be related to the BotCon fiction?
It's a secret.
Oh no, he's got a secret.
It's a secret to everybody.
We've got a secret too.
Well, if I could break in for a moment.
Yes.
Because the last couple times I didn't get through. But I was trying to say that flipping back and forth between the two pictures, I do like the spots a lot on the car mode, but kind of wish they were the more geometric shapes on the robot. It looks a little...
They're so small, though. You can't really tell if they're... Well, and I was looking at
But the way the shield is on his arm, mm-hmm. it's like, here's this... It seems pretty heavily dominated by spots.
Oh, I see.
In like a consolidated area, like that front edge has so many spots on it, then the back, like two thirds, is just completely flat yellow. It might have worked better.
What I would have liked to balance that out would have been if maybe some of the spots could have carried over onto the chainsaw.
I don't know. But the I don't know how I feel about
they're
that.
They're Kirby-ons.
They could have been, yeah.
They're Kirby dots. Like Kevin, you know. How did you know?
Kirby dots on the chains. I don't know. I think that maybe part of what makes it a little strange is that, like I said, I like that they taper off going up into the yellow, but then with the chainsaw coming out, it's like, then there's another color. But this is...
Well, but honestly, if it was an animation, that chainsaw would be like, you know, like a laser... a laser saw.
Yeah.
So it would, you know, he would have the shield and then that thing would go, you know, and come out like that. So.
Mm-hmm. I think that oddly enough, the thing I really like about him the most is the fact that he's going to have that transparent green plastic for some reason.
It is kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, for some reason that plastic, like through all the other stuff on him that I'm kind of digging or debating on, like that green plastic, I instantly was like, look at that plastic.
Yeah, like I like that too. I really like that.
And having it on the, you know, a similar paint app on his stomach too. There's something about that that's really catching me. I think it's like just between the shoulder points and the stomach one, and then just finishing it off with that chainsaw being the same stuff. I don't know. I like green.
I do too.
So this toy, as I said, we're going to be able to order this hopefully before BotCon. The club exclusive toys that you order and don't have to go to a convention for often their dates often get bounced around quite a bit, because they usually seem to be planned to be released sometime in the spring, right during the lead up to BotCon. Thus, when BotCon lead up may, you know, it's planning a convention when it doesn't go well, first thing to get bumped a little bit tends to be these toys. So, not exactly sure when they'll be available, but they're closer to being done than they were before. Gog or Seth, any other thoughts on Cheetor or discussions on Cheetor you'd like to bring up?
Yeah, not really. I from all my complaints, I still like it. I mean, certainly you can nitpick things, and you can say shoulda, coulda, woulda all you want, but in the end, I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to like it, and I think it's one of the cooler club exclusives we've gotten in a while, and I hope that we get more of these. I hope that Derek gets an opportunity to work with these guys in the future, if not sooner, at least later, sometime. That'd be nice.
Well, this is a very awkward thing to say with Derek sitting right in the room with us.
Oh yeah, and I'm not. But, I'm not.
No.
I'm
I don't
not,
mean what you're saying. Yeah. I'm going somewhere with what my thoughts were when I saw this Cheetor. Were they've been doing Shattered Glass outside of BotCon a little bit, and now that's kind of tapering down. I was like, it would be cool if, you know, for another year and a half, the Shattered Glass of the next year and a half was more add-on animated dudes. I'm sure that all depends on how well Cheetor and the BotCon toys do, but that's personally what I'd like to see. As much as I like the Forest of Night G2 characters, if they're not going to do Omega Supreme, I think G2's done. So
easy, buddy. Let's not get crazy.
Hey, I'm just saying. I saw a couple of those dudes at BotCon, And first thing I said, I was like, hey, so double punch, but not Omega Scream. And they totally got on the, they're like, well, you see. And I was like, huh?
What would they make Scream out of?
Menasor. Cybertron Menasor.
Oh, that's Cybertron Menasor.
Yeah.
Is that what size was it? Was he, Ultra?
He was, I think he was Ultra. Yeah.
Hmm.
But I think my theory that I have it is that that was already in a pipeline convention wise as Shattered Glass Omega Doom, so that's why I've always had a thing against Omega Doom because he stood in the way of.
I would not give up that double punch for anything though.
That's the thing is beautiful. I like double punch, but I'm like I like Scream more. Mm-hmm. So that was my one little bit of contention. But with no Scream and you know with some other stuff. Already, like what the other Collectors Club exclusive is another G2 guy. I'd love to see more Forest Knight, but I'd rather see more animated.
So. God, that's a tough choice for me. Even though as much as I love animated, like I don't know, like
not
I
to want put you G2 on the spot well. Or anything.
That is a really tough choice.
G2 animated.
I think G2 is my favorite set that they've done up to this point.
Did you did you see Griff? He did a great Photoshop of this Cheetor in.
Action Master Thundercracker. Yeah, that was fantastic. I immediately pulled that off and saved it to the desktop. I think Cheetor too. Getting back to that a little bit is I think it just looks like he's gonna look great. You know, if in your animated collection, I think that like he may not be perfect. He may, and I don't know. You know. From the photo, but I still think he's gonna look, you know, he's really gonna stand out with that yellow color.
Well, aesthetically, I can't think of number one, I can't think of a yellow animated toy that has this kind of yellow off the top of my head because Bumblebee's is far lighter.
Yeah, it's kind of lemony. Yeah,
and also I can't think of a tall and slender yellow Autobot or Decepticon even off the top of my head.
I just think he's gonna look really good.
Yeah, he'll
with everybody else. And
go ahead.
Yeah, well, that was all pretty much I want to say. I just think that, you know, once people have these on their shelves, you know, they're going to be really happy that they have them.
I think he's going to fill in a really nice niche if you have a full-on animated display going on because of being tall, slender, and yellow.
And you can put him next to Black Arachne and Waspinator.
Yeah, and you can pretend.
What could have been? God, I really want more G2. Transformers now. I don't know. That's a really tough choice, though. Like, I don't know if they came to me and said, would you rather do some more of your stuff, or would you rather have more G2? And be like, I don't know.
Ask him on Formspring.
Yeah. Can we have Omega Spring, please?
I would love Omega. Okay, that's the thing. Give me animated unless you're doing Spring. If you gotta bump animated back for Spring, no offense, but I...
He has to be able to. The original Scream has to be able to ride on him like the original Double Punch can ride on the Botcon Double Punch. That's amazing. Did you see the pictures I took of that?
I don't think so.
Well, I didn't pull it up, but yeah, that was awesome.
I suppose at this point we could. I actually got a huge whack of Twitter.
Did you get Cheetor questions?
A mixture of, you know, there is Cheetor, I think, in there somewhere by extension. Mm-hmm. these got a little bit abstract, but they could be fun. Just last call though, Seth Gog, was there anything else Cheetor wise?
I think we're you guys went way off on the other tracks.
Sorry.
It seems like really backtracking, but yeah, I mean, want to see more pictures to see if the head really is as it is or seems to be with the eyes. I'm looking forward to hearing the explanation of the spots because, you know, that they're not bad. I mean, the organic spots, they look okay, but I don't know how it could have been, how it is, and just kind of waiting to see more about them. But, I mean, it's a good base for everything.
Mm-hmm. I just received the double punch picture.
that's how he is on my desk. Like, it's like he can stand on his tail It's, I don't know, it's kind of perfect.
It's unfair because everyone with a double punch can do that now, but me and my Supreme, we're just...
So lonely. And now I'm laughing. Who's laughing now, Vangelis?
Stuck all alone. Back here.
I got my double punch and my windmill over here. Waiting to gang up on your stupid Supreme.
Mine's called Omega. All right.
Mine's called Double.
So there's two of them. All right, let's start into this Twitter stuff. First up, Gigabomb said... in quotations, even. Wow. White out any budget restrictions. I think he meant without. Without any budget restrictions, what would the BotCon set look like of your dreams?
Well, oh man, so they could just do anything. I would just do all the characters that I would really...
Star Saber.
Favorite characters. Yeah, well, I'd do like a... I'd probably do... I'd do a Striker for sure. I'd do like leader class Striker. Do Grandis. I would do a Grandis as like a big plastic box that all the toys come in, and then you turn you just drop the box down and it turns into vehicle mode.
Alrighty.
I would do humans too. I would do tons of humans. Maybe use like Microman bodies as a base.
So they'd be poseable. Yes, yes. After all the discussion last time about humanoid bodies.
With it, basically with an unlimited budget, though, I would do. It would be like there would probably be like 300 characters in this set.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. BotCon 2012. Derek Wyatt's animation.
Yeah, and a new cartoon to go with it.
Yes.
Pack in.
Next up is Brentosaur saying, if he were a Transformer, what would his allegiance and alt mode be? This feels very Formspring.
That would be, it does. I feel like I've gotten this question before. It would be a Decepticon, and my alt mode would be similar to the Cobra Buzzbore.
Ooh.
I don't know what the Buzzbore is. It's like a saw vehicle thing.
I do like saws.
Like a saw wheel, and then you ride in the middle.
Oh, I remember that now. Okay, yeah, that would be awesome. That you could work like the General Grievous, Star Wars Transformer.
Oh.
This question sucks all of a sudden. General Techno, do you know him?
Yeah.
Says, now that he's worked on Transformers and Scooby-Doo and Green Lantern, what lifelong dream would he like to work on next?
I haven't done any Disney stuff at all. Maybe DuckTales or something. I haven't done any Marvel shows, but Marvel is... I better not say anything, actually. I don't want to get in trouble. I heard they're not too fun to work for right now, so... Mm. At one point... It'd be cool to do, like, a Fantastic Four cartoon or something.
With a proper Mr. Fantastic action figure.
Yes, yes. Without, yeah, the terrible figures.
Oh, dear. Snowballs McFistcuffs wants to know what your favorite color is.
Green.
Hell yeah. Boltan 2 wants to know if you have something against Transmetal 2's Scarum.
Why would I have something against him?
I have no idea.
No, I don't have anything against him.
I'm just translating.
I think I own him, actually. Pretty sure I do own him.
I've got a Scarum. I got a Scarum and an Optimus Minor on the same sale at London Drift.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Got both those guys.
P. Toadstool wants to know, since his question was stolen by General Techno, Macho Madness or Hulkamania?
God. Macho Madness?
Good. All right. Pass the test.
Rock and wrestling. That's all I know.
King Laffo. I know a King Laffo. He says, which type of wood makes the best rocking chair, and what would you seal it with?
I'd like something like a cedar, where it still had retained the smell of the cedar, and sealed with something that would, I guess, it would have to be allow some kind of breathability, so you could retain that wooden smell.
Hmm.
But and then have probably like a cushion.
A cushion. Rocking chairs got really wussy. I'm not meaning to judge here. But.
This old podcast.
Hard wooden chair. Gives you a butt callus. Makes you strong. Take a kick in the butt. Wraithnor, this is a loaded question. What other G1 Scramble City teams would you have given the animated makeover, and how would you have cast the voices? You don't have to answer at huge length if you don't want to go off on the tangent.
Whoa. What Scramble City? I would... I mean, I'd... You know, I love the Combaticons. I love the Technobots. I don't remember if the Technobots were in Scramble City or not. I don't think they were. They were after the movie.
The same aesthetic, but.
But yeah, I mean, I think you could probably lump them in, right? Because they have the same.
Them and
but
the
I think, yeah, like them, the, you know, the. God, I'd love to do. I just, you know, I like making the individual characters, you know, bringing them to the fore, too. Because, you know, I like Afterburner a lot, and I like Blot. I think that's more fun to me, is making those guys as individuals and giving them personalities and characters where you rarely get to see that anywhere else.
So they don't get swallowed up by the specter of the combination type thing.
Yeah, that's like the Gestalt thing is like season 12 where you got to start escalating stuff by scale.
Mm-hmm. I mean that's the case with the Stunticons even that, you know, it's kind of funny, one of the first questions that came up is like, so who's going to make the third party thing to make him turn into Metasaur? Or with the Fans Project Crossfire Bruticus guys, where it's like these two awesome, you know, very G1-esque looking robot toys, but a lot of people just put them into the combined mode and leave them like that. And it's like, but it's you know, that Vortex one, or not Vortex, the Blastoff-ish one, it's so good.
I have my Swindle standing in front of the Bruticus, so he's got two tank legs.
Hell yeah. GM Fan 101 of Canadian Slag has a question.
Well, bad guy.
Yeah. Christoph. were Thundercracker and Ramjet taken into consideration for the BotCon set or other molds that didn't get released, i.e. all the ones we talked about last week, so he clearly didn't listen last week.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Nice going, buddy. Were they taken into consideration?
Yeah, I'm thinking like the easy Starscream clone repaints that wouldn't have required too many new parts or something like that.
I don't know that that side of, you know, I don't know that side of you know, what was taken into consideration and what wasn't too much, because, you know, when they came to me, that everything was pretty much final.
Yeah. Like I think this kind of ties into a question we asked last week already about the process and whether there were other ideas outside of Stunticons and whatnot.
And there were tons, but I think Pete also, didn't he say that there were some non-animated toys, right?
Yeah, he said that there are going to be non-animated BotCon toys, but that's all he said.
Right, so there's that to look forward to too.
Mm-hmm. Studio Draven from the UK says BotCon's coming up. What's your favorite drink?
I don't drink too much. The only thing I tend to drink is sherry or port, which are very grandmotherly drinks, you know. And then I sit down and watch Murder, She Wrote. No.
What's wrong with Murder, She Wrote?
Nothing. but that's about all I drink. I don't really, I'm not much of a drinker.
So if we were all to buy you just like a huge bottle of tequila or something like that, you'd be kind of like...
That would be... No. Yeah, I would not want to... That's the no fun party.
If anyone wants to guiltlessly buy themselves a huge bottle of tequila, just get it as a gift for Derek and then you can do a take back. Not to promote that kind of thing. Razorsaw, big fan of RID, says, what RID characters would you like to do for TFA? So what Robot in Disguise characters?
There's not that many, you know. Like, we did Slapper, and I would do a Skybite. Who's the guy that they're doing this year as the club exclusive? Are we alone? What happened to the other guys?
My mind.
Seth, are you there?
They're not asking us questions.
this has nothing to do with
well, what's that guy's name?
I saw it. Turn my mic off.
Tell us what that guy's name is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Razorstar's going to kill us. He's going to come on. Oh my god, I'm so sad. Why did you guys? Well, anyway, maybe we'd do that guy.
Yeah.
I don't, the other guys are all like, you know, I wouldn't do a Scourge because I would want to do G1 Scourge, and I wouldn't do Expron because I think that's a weird name. You know,
Gas Skunk.
Yeah, maybe Gas Skunk. That would be cool. I'd like to, you know, anybody who's got a unique name and you know, we might do a Scourge was, I was thinking of Beast Wars Scourge for a second, but he was also Nemesis Prime, right? He was the Nemesis.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to see Beast Wars Transmetal 2 Scourge get done, but I'm the only one who thinks that.
Yes, yeah. I would have to. It would have to be like Locust Door or something, you know.
Locust Mind.
Yeah.
Another General Techno, you already asked a question. You're getting greedy.
He's got 50 follow-ups.
Well, he wants to know if you could work with any voice actor you haven't had a chance to. Who would it be? And what? Well, who would
I would have liked to. I really would have liked to work with Charles Nelson Reilly, but he's gone now. So, I don't know. There's a bunch that I haven't worked with that I would still like to. Anybody from Mr. Show would be awesome.
Break open that Mr. Show treasure chest.
Yeah, we've got a couple, but it'd be cool to have David Cross or Bob Odenkirk. I just had another name and now it's gone. Louis Anderson. I'd like to get Louis Anderson to do a voice. I always thought he would be awesome, Slag Dinobot. So
if you could have budgeted in,
yeah,
Dinobot voices.
Oh.
General Techno also wants me to ask you about General Techno clearly didn't listen to last week's show.
He's cut off. No more techno questions.
Yeah. I'm tired of this. I already asked him that Formspring thing, and he said it. Your mom, Techno. That's what he just said to you in his mind. Mr. H37 has been meaning to ask, how's your brother doing?
Whose brother?
That's his question.
I don't have a brother.
Oh, he's talking to me. That's my brother's fine. Thank you. Scrub Sauce wants to know your opinion on Big Hoss.
Big Hoss.
Big Hoss is an upcoming Stealth Force toy.
I don't remember. Is that one of the Toy Fair picks?
I don't know. He's a big truck. He turns into a
I would have to review. I don't remember Big Hoss. I'd have to review him and get back to him.
How do you find the name Big Hoss? Would you want to apply that name to anything?
Yeah, like sounds like reminds me of Boss Hogg or something. It should be like a really stretched convertible Lincoln with like a bull horns on the front. That would be pretty cool. Mm.
A Load of Hoopla wants to know if you play Connect 4 and would you have liked to design more original characters for animated and other shows you've worked. Well, I'm sure you would have liked to design more characters for shows you're a designer on. But
yeah, I would like to do more. I have played Connect 4 in the past, and I think was he the one who asked me I got a question on Formspring challenging me to a game of Connect 4, and if he wins, then I have to draw him a sketch.
I'm not sure if he's the same one, because I can't keep up with your Formspring. It moves at a light speed.
Yeah, and it's a lot of questions that nobody cares about.
I just kind of stick my face in every now and then, yeah. And like it's like bobbing for apples.
Yeah.
So this is exactly like your Formspring, though.
Yeah, exactly.
The great Mr. Chibi has a question of some merit, I believe. It's kind of lengthy, so we can just crunch this one down. He wants to know, when you're working on a property based on a classic franchise, what's the process for reworking it as a modern show? Like, he wants to know how they're pitched. Like, is the animation ordered by Hasbro, or is it presented to Hasbro by Cartoon Network? Well, in the case of animated, I believe it was a very simultaneous process, if I remember
correctly.
Well,
it was, I think, Hasbro went to Sam Register and asked him to develop a show for Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Hasbro that had the impetus to get that ball rolling. Whereas something with like Scooby-Doo is obviously owned by Warner Brothers. And so, it starts there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's not ever, Cartoon Network goes to Hasbro and goes, hey, can we make a Transformers cartoon? You know, yes. It's the other way around.
I thought of having a Transformers cartoon. That's a good idea. I can back up the toys with that.
So, everybody wants, the ultimate goal of everybody is to have their own brands that are recognized and air on TV. Cartoon Network is a network that airs those shows, but they've also got their own brands that they want to push, like Ben 10 and whatnot.
Mm.
It depends on who owns that brand. The license and what what they want to do with it,
and with reworking it, as I've seen in your own approach, you tend to really look back on what was done before as a source piece of material. So
because everything I've worked on up to this point has been really nostalgic for me, and I have a lot of love for the original versions, and so I just tend to want to kind of draw a version of that makes me nostalgic, but just in my own style, in that kind of angular, cartoony style. And I really liked, especially on Transformers, because there's so many versions of each character. I used to really like going through and finding all the different versions and kind of putting a few pieces in from each, you know, each version that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
That was always a lot of fun. I think when you take something, you distill it down to what really worked in the past, and then, you know, plus trying to give a new spin, a little bit of a new spin.
Yes, it's great for discussion too, because when you can spot all those throwbacks, it gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling. T16 Skyhop wants to know what we can do to get animated season 3 on DVD. Can we buy you a drink or lunch at BotCon? And then he has a bunch of other questions, but we answered some of these already, like unique toys.
I don't have anything to, you know, people always ask me that all the time, and that was the only time, I think, was that the only time? There was one time I was actually, somebody recognized me on the street, you know,
wow.
I was just, like, coming out of a Chinese restaurant in Burbank, and I heard, "Hey, Wyatt, when's season 3 coming out on DVD?" I'm like, what the hell? You know, it was like, it was weird.
Hey, Wyatt! But,
I have no control. You can buy me all the drinks you want. I don't have any say over that stuff. You need to ask Hasbro what their plans are. That's the ball's in their court. I don't own any piece of animated. It's not up to me.
But if people want to buy you a drink or lunch at BotCon, are they still able to?
Hey, they can buy me lots of lunches. Drinks I probably won't accept too many of.
All right. Also, what's your favorite cartoon as a kid?
Oh, it depends on what age I was, because, you know, I went through different, you know, Transformers was my favorite cartoon at that time. Mm-hmm. And I remember liking Mighty Orbots a lot. I remember liking DuckTales a lot when I got a little older. I can't remember what before that. I really liked Super Friends. And then when I was really little, I liked the Hanna-Barbera Fantastic Four cartoon. And the Herculoids I really liked a lot. Like Scooby-Doo. Especially the Scoobies when they would team up with like Batman and Robin and Mama Cass and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I remember the friend of mine had the cassette of the Batman and Robin.
Yeah, so good
crossover.
Harlem Globetrotters. God, if we could do the Harlem Globetrotters, I might be able to end my career then.
2013 happy. Harlem Globetrotters. 2013 the animated series.
So good. I'm so jealous of the Futurama episodes where they have them in there. That should be ours. No, but.
Future animated human characters. Boom. Nurse Midnight with our penultimate question says, are you going to be working on any other TF animated figures with Funpub besides BotCon and the Cheetor ones? I believe we covered that before.
Well, I'm going to just say again, you know, I'd love to do more. I'm a big fan of Funpub and the Transformers Collectors Club stuff. I really like working with those guys, and I would love to do more animated toys, but not as long as it doesn't, you know, take precedence over the G2 toys.
Oh, I yeah. So. You mean G2 Scream? As long as yeah, we're gonna do all the other Action Master releases. Not Scream though. We got to save that one for Omega Doom.
What do you think? Do you think like on the 10th anniversary set should be like one character from each set? Or you know, one character from each set's universe. So there'd be like a car pre-Beast form of somebody, and then like a G2 character, and a Shattered Glass character, and an animated
And they can all be Scream. Beast Wars Scream, Animated Scream.
Animated Scream. You can make him out of Activator's Cliff Jumper.
Yes. It'd be fantastic. And our final question, with a wonderful segue, Seth Buzzard from Twitter.com asks, what's going on?
I don't know, Seth. Are you there? We're almost done with questions.
No, we are done. That was our last question.
I haven't talked to you guys in a while. It was just kind of like,
hey, how's it going? Doing?
Like, how you feeling? Doing okay?
I feel pretty good.
It's been a while.
You know, I'm feeling as good as a petty tyrant can when there's, you know, wolves at the door. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Excellent.
That's it. And thus ends the questions.
Yes, and thus ends our Derek J. Wyatt-centric component of this podcast. We do have more to talk about.
Wait. Techno has 50 more questions.
Oh, crap. Let's go check.
Tell him to go to Formspring.
Also, some of these questions are tagged Derek J. Wyatt, so you can then go on. You can go on Twitter later tonight and re-answer some of these again if you want.
Oh yeah,
totally up to you. Yeah, if you want to.
So people can get a preview of what I will answer,
or you can give them a completely different answer, and then they'll be shocked and awed when they tune in. As I hope they do before they ask another question. Techno GM fan. I'm gritting my teeth. You can't hear it because I don't grind them because I'm not dirty. But I'm saying the letter F. Coming up next, we've got new pick picks. Derek, would you like to chill out with us for the rest of the podcast, I ask, as I did last week?
Sure.
Lovely. This week, the news is actually kind of light. It's very pick-pickable because it's a whole lot of toys, a whole lot of other stuff. Seth, what would you like to pick out as a picture this week?
Well, first, let me thank you for having me on the show tonight. It's a pleasure.
No problem. Special guest star, Seth Buzzard.
How about these Transformer movie dual model kit Optimus Prime and Bumblebee images that unfortunately have big red bars over them, so can't really get a good look at them. But it looks like a cool concept. Didn't they do something like this before with like an underlying armature and attachable parts?
Trans-scanning.
And those aren't the same. Those aren't the same skeletons. They're different.
Oh no! These are going by the price points. These are much bigger.
Oh, I see.
Specifically, Bumblebee is 3,800 yen, and Optimus Prime is 8,800 yen. So that's about $40 and $90.
Delicious.
Respectively, 1/35th scale.
Oh, they're all on trees. The parts are all on trees. You have to take them all off yourself. That is crazy, right?
Yeah, it appears that way. And depending on how poseable these things are, like how much range of motion you could get in these armatures, even being non-transformable, these could be some pretty cool figures. Because you'd have to imagine with the... and you could kind of see somewhat in the parts of the pictures that aren't obscured. They do look far more movie accurate than any other toy that has ever come out. And, I mean, just looking at Bumblebee's feet, like no other Bumblebee toys had feet that looked like that. If these have a big range of motion, it could be something really cool.
I'm really liking that on the Prime, he has the wheels where the tires are segmented and split open on the back of his legs. It's another thing that the toys have never really pulled off.
Yeah, well, I mean, these have the advantage of not needing to worry about transforming, so
absolutely. <yeah.
laughs> But for some people, that's going to be a big turnoff. But like they did that line of figures for the first movie that didn't transform, but were all kind of not great.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so this could be a great version of that.
Those trans scanning ones, they technically transformed, but very technically.
I think he meant the robot replicas, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't remember what they were called because they were so uninteresting.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten what they were even called.
I remembered them as, it's Reveltex. Oh, no, it's not Reveltex.
I had the Frenzy. I remember wanting the Frenzy. Now he's in a box in the garage somewhere.
Oh.
I almost bought a couple, but it never ended up happening.
Yeah, I was really into them at first when I thought that they were very Reveltech-y, but...
Dead air.
These
models... I heard like three voices start talking at the same time, so I thought I would just mind my own business.
I think we're having some kind of Skype lag because I'm hearing like these weird staggers of stop and starts.
Yeah, I'm losing like some of the ends of your sentences every once in a while.
This is weird.
Do you think they'd be good for customization?
Probably. I mean, being model kits, they're going to be very imminently paintable. Especially if they're on par with Bandai's or Kotobukiya's outputtings. I'm not actually... I don't recall the last time Takara Tomy has done basically Gunpla-style model kits. So I'm curious how these will turn out. I'd love it if they turned out great, because it looks like they're even doing the Kotobukiya thing of painting some parts on the sprue.
Yeah, it looks like that.
It'd be nice
if... Well, I could even see people just buying them to use the underlying armatures and building whole different figures on top of it.
Oh, probably,
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. I wonder if that would be cool.
I heard a rumor that the underlying armature is going to be primarily metal, but has that been confirmed anywhere, or was that just some hearsay?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Well, then I just started a hoax. Awesome. That's what I do. Seth, are you thinking you might pick one of these up?
It's very tempting. I mean, the price on Prime is kind of high. Like, at 88 yen, that's going to be, what, over 90 bucks?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, before shipping or anything. So I would probably be more likely to take a jab at the Bumblebee. And, I don't know. But this sort of thing, it seems unlikely that it would get a U.S. release if there's choking hazard-sized pieces.
Oh, definitely. But, the only thing that could really help these get a release is the fact that they're model kits, so it'd be easier to market them as Diamond Select-style things, but that also hinges on whether or not Hasbro wants to put out something like that.
Yeah, and Hasbro doesn't really seem to have any sort of history of doing kind of stuff released just for collectors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be cool if they did through like Hasbro Toy Shop or something, but it doesn't seem like that's something they ever really think about doing or care to do.
Gog, you've been on a bit of a model building kick lately. Do these interest you at all?
I'll see what people say about them. I'm certainly not opposed to it. I think this sort of thing is neat, but I've also been kind of spoiled because the ones I've been getting are really cool.
you've been building Kotobukiya stuff, and I actually kind of like their stuff more than Bandai's now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I like what Bandai does, but 90% of what Bandai does for their model kits are Gundams, and it's not like I dislike Gundam. It's just like that aesthetic feels so whitewashed to me in like, you know, I'm building a Gundam. Here's the skirt. Here's the square forearms that the hands plug into, and
yeah,
Kotobukiya, they tend to do more unique designs. So
for being somebody who's totally into robots, I have never had any involvement with the Gundam franchise. So has their Gundam model kits really over the years changed that much? Like
I know they have like
three tiers of model, but I didn't know if they've drastically improved over the last few years anything?
They've done a lot. Like, you know, their higher-end ones have internal skeletons like these. Recently, there was big news that they did an internal skeleton on a smaller scale one. So, like, everything I've heard is, you know, Bandai does a lot of cool stuff. It's just that, like, a majority of it is Gundam. So a majority of it doesn't entirely interest... Not to say I hate Gundam, but I'm not invested in that franchise. So Kotobukiya is kind of my favorite right now. I'm hoping that these ones turn out well because this is how you take advantage of this medium is just focus on that robot mode and make it look gorgeous and on model. Derek J. Wyatt, being a huge fan of Movie Bumblebee, are you going to pick up a Movie Bumblebee?
No, I don't have any interest in those at all. No, thanks. I have enough Movie Bumblebees in my garage that I...
This one might beep.
Oh, God. Enough of the beeping. Yeah, they look nice. For people who like that movie aesthetic, I think it, you know, and honestly, probably like, you know, during the first movie or before the second movie, I would probably be into it. But I'm a little bumblebeed out.
Yeah, it's more the potential of its posability and just how much detail is in it or appears to be in it from, I mean, these limited pictures more than like, yay, it's Bumblebee. Like, I would be more likely to get Bumblebee of those two because he's cheaper. I mean, if the choice was
Optimus Prime
or Ironhide, I'd be saying I'd be more likely to get Ironhide. Or,
if they had a, you know, if there was a Shockwave one and it was really cool and it was purple, and it was even the more expensive, I would consider it probably.
Hmm. Well, he'd probably look very cool.
Definitely.
If these are any indication. So I'm looking forward to seeing how these turn out. I'm not sure. Is there a release date? Oh, here we go. June 25th. That's actually a ways off. So I guess after BotCon, I'll be looking into seeing how these turned out. Gog, do you have a new picture pick?
Yeah, let me see here. Had a couple things I was looking at, but I will say, I will briefly mention, Mr. Wyatt, I did enjoy your animated Depth Charge.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, that was
I got a kick out of that. So, Depth Charge is one of my favorite Beast Wars characters, so when I saw that, I was quite pleased.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. You can talk about that if you want. I didn't want to sound all like, well, since you're on, I think I'll just choose one of your pictures. Yeah, I'm your biggest fan, you know.
But, sign this for me.
That's Cheetor's boss.
We haven't really gotten a lot new in the last week, but one thing that did catch my eye was I don't think you talked about it at all last week, but the Prime soundtrack.
Yes.
Has been confirmed as being released. So, I didn't really have much interest in that, but today the episode Convoy aired, and I really enjoyed the soundtrack to the episode today. It was a lot different than what we've gotten previously in the series, and I really enjoyed it. It reminded me a lot of Mass Effect, and I think I might be interested in the soundtrack now, just from that one episode.
I was really hoping they'd change up the music, because I've only seen the five-part opener, but it sounded really like one note, and just like the movie, kind of didn't have its own voice, really.
Mm-hmm. I think even the first couple episodes past that have, and yeah. they really mixed it up in the Convoy episode. So
that's good to hear.
It makes me interested in seeing what they do with the soundtrack from here on, because I thought they were just going to play the Prime theme over and over again. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, this is a mini kind of Prime time.
Oh, go ahead.
Or go ahead.
Well, I just said at some points, you know, watching the original, watching the movie, it would really pull me out of the show, because I'd be like, you know, oh, what is this melodramatic music doing over the scene? It doesn't make any sense. But it, like, you know, yeah. So I'm really glad to hear that they're it's starting to get cool.
This is a bit of a miniaturized primetime thing, but a lot of people I've talked to, like yourself and some other folks who only saw the opening five-parter. I'm able to say kind of happily that like the show really like, and now hearing this, like I haven't seen Convoy yet. I'm going to probably watch it after we're done, but hearing that about the music really makes me happy, because a lot of other parts of the show had picked up so much after the five-parter and really didn't, they didn't use the five-parter as the bar. They sought to do better than it.
That's cool.
That's really good to hear about the music. Must have.
I heard people love Scraplets too. I gotta watch that eventually. It's on my to-do list.
It's on the whiteboard. Gog, I was going to ask you if you'd heard this since it was on our front page, but this is stemming off the music tangent. Did you see the Jam Project Transformers Evo Symphonic?
I've heard people talking about it, and I haven't remembered to watch it when I've been in front of a computer, so I'll probably check it out after we do this.
Maybe,
unless you really want me to, then I'll watch it during the intermission or something.
If you like. I mean, it popped up at a perfect time for me, so I was like, I'll turn this on. And I was like, that's kind of neat. It's very, very Jam Project, but like...
I love the Jam Project.
They're insane. Endo Misaki in a tuxedo, just weird. Derek, do you have a new picture you'd like to look at?
Oh my goodness, I have one, but it's completely off topic. And I'm gonna do it anyway.
Oh, jeez.
Because it's so good. Did you see? Guess the Red Skull.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that looks cool.
From the upcoming film, I believe.
Yes. And the first thing I was looking at it, and people were coming in, going, "Is that the Hot Toys? Red Skull?" And I'm like, "No, that's the real thing." I don't think that's how good Hot Toys has gotten.
Oh, definitely. I really liked how was it you who said it? Someone on my Twitter said like they'd love to see him chilling out with the Frank Langella Skeletor.
Yeah, Frank Langella Skeletor. Yeah, that was me. I loved that when I was, you know, when that movie was out too. I thought that makeup was awesome.
I have a message for Derek. My friend Quinn Jester said that he bought DC Universe Deathstroke because of Teen Titans, and he's sad that the hips have been super glued together from the factory. And he said Tara died for this toy, and tell Derek I am not happy.
I'm sorry.
So okay, sorry.
Derek, can you fix the toy for him?
I might have a Bandai Slade in my garage, an extra one that I could But I probably wouldn't part with it.
But I can wave it at you, and I can take pictures of it.
I can take a picture of it and show you.
My own pick I'd like to pick out, I mean, a lot of good stuff was brought up already, the depth charge. I know that last podcast I brought up the one proponent for Beast Wars 15th anniversary on Twitter, and I believe that depth charge picture did make her day when it popped up.
Oh, good.
It was kind of like, yeah, Beast Wars! I kind of want to, this is something I haven't done in a while. I want to bring up a Stolen Chinese Tour review. I was watching some of Piao's stuff, and he reviewed a Dark of the Moon helicopter called Skyhammer, and I really dug it for one reason, one primary reason. His propeller blades turn into suspenders, like a chest harness. Like the propeller blades are literally just hovering in front of his chest like a shield. Then they all fold back and plug into parts of his backpack. So he's got this cross on his chest with the propeller blades all bent back. And I was like, I haven't seen something that interesting done with a helicopter transformer in ages. So kudos. And I also felt bad because poor Skyhammer, everyone was talking about Wheeljack and everyone was ignoring the nondescript movie Transformer. So I want to just throw my props out there for Skyhammer. I will buy you Skyhammer under the dark of the moon.
Not to be confused with Skyrunner, who's the Monstar's pet squid, right?
Exactly. I mean, the comparison is very easy to see, but...
No, the squid has no suspenders.
Why not? We also have we got one little bit of news we want to cover because this is kind of cool. This is going off a rumor I think that we'd mentioned before, but Shout Factory has confirmed that they are doing DVD sets for Beast Wars and for Transformers Hedomasutazu. So that's kind of huge. I mean, not only are there going to be more Beast Wars DVDs, and if they do the same treatment that they gave the G1 DVDs with Beast Wars, that could be really cool. If they want to be my heroes, they could get a bunch of people to come in and do series-long audio commentary. That would be marvelous. Probably won't, but that would be awesome. The bigger news is Headmasters, domestic DVDs. This opens doors. I'm curious where this could go. Gog, Seth, I think that it was our team that was discussing it.
Yep.
Before about how this, you know, a lot of people have watched fan subs, but this is kind of important because there are a lot of people who don't want to go through the rigmarole of downloading and getting codecs and whatnot to watch fan subs. So I'm kind of pumped. I'm curious what the price point's going to be on Headmasters, because that was a shorter series as well than Victory, if I recall correctly. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that these are getting a release over here for like those people that, you know, really like that didn't have an opportunity to see it or never found the fan subs or didn't know where to look or didn't want to go through the rigmarole or what, or just want official copies like in official boxes and not just like some CDRs in an envelope that they burned. So that's cool. I'm in a place right now where I'm really disinterested in buying things on disc. Mm. Like for a long time, there was kind of a deal where if I went to a movie in a theater, it was like 95% guaranteed I was going to buy the DVD. And now I have all these DVDs and movies that I'm not really interested in watching ever again. So I'm hoping, these get to Netflix pretty quick and I'll totally check them out through Netflix. Streaming would be even better. Otherwise I'll just get the disc from Netflix.
So you're set for some digital distribution.
Oh yeah. Or, you know, through the mail, if they don't get it streamed.
Digital I'll mail distribution. Disc.
Physical mail distribution. Yeah, I mean, I'll check them out when they come out. I'm just, I just don't have an urge to buy them. Hmm.
Now, Gog, as someone who, it was recently, wasn't it? Or in the last year or so that you went through all those series, if I recall right. Well,
funny enough, the only one that I haven't watched is Headmasters.
Oh.
I actually watched them backwards. I started at Victory and then watched Master Force, and I just haven't gotten around to Headmasters just because it's vastly considered the by the majority to be the inferior of the three. And it's not that I don't want to watch it. I don't know. The victory
the
designs and
stuff. When the battle bees show up.
That's true. Yes, they do.
Maybe that's all the incentive I need.
I'm hoping a lot of people pick these up. I hate to imply, you know, buy the DVD out of loyalty. But this is one where, you know, if you're on the fence, I'd like it if you could go onto the buying side of the fence, if only because this is, in my opinion, quite a risk of a thing to try to release. And when I see a release like this, I get happy, but I also think about things like Gargoyles Season 2, Volume 1. So, I don't know. I hope it does well. I'm going to buy it.
I want to support them, too. If things like this are successful, then that means we get more. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, if it's a $100 DVD set,
yeah,
just speaking from myself, because I'll be honest, I think it's worth the money. It's not that I'm saying that you shouldn't buy it because it's not worth it. But speaking from my own experience and knowing my self-control, if I have $100 burning a hole in my pocket and I have the opportunity to import this awesome toy or for $100 or buy a series on disc that I've already seen, at least in the case of Beast Wars, then it's hard to purchase something like that. And that doesn't mean that my decision is right. But I think a lot of people can relate to such things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where my comparison to that Gargoyles DVD box comes from, because that was the first half of Season 2, and it was sold for like $45 over here because they couldn't figure out a way to charge less for it, and it didn't do all that well, as far as I know. And I don't think a Volume 2 happened for the rest of Season 2. So that's why I was saying, like, that's always been my example of the unfortunate DVD release for a cartoon that might not have enough push to sell properly is, you know, it can go either way. And sometimes, like, I'd want to support it, but, I mean, if Headmasters released and it was, like, a huge price in comparison to the amount of material on it, then I would also be stuck going, like, I'd be like, I want to support it, but I gotta also look at myself for a second here and go, like, I don't generally want to spend that much on DVDs anywhere.
Yeah, and I experience the same thing with music, because I think you should support things that you like, because if you don't, they can't get produced.
Yeah,
and they will not be made anymore, because regardless of whatever your viewpoints are, it requires money to do it, and people are, whether they're in it only for the money or not, money still has to be present in order for these things to happen. But like when you look at it with music, it's, well, okay, I downloaded that album because I couldn't afford it or whatever, but in the end, it's not that difficult to go back and say, like, okay, I can afford it now, let me go buy that $15 album, because that's $15, but it is a little harder to swallow when, because I did watch Beast Wars via BitTorrent however many years ago that I saw it, and so, but it is a little hard to say, okay, well, I'm in a position now where I can support that, so let me drop $100 on it. And that is the right thing to do. I'm not saying that mindset's wrong. It's just, it's more difficult, especially when you are a collector who drops money on loads of BS. It's hard to justify. It's hard to justify that in your head. Well, I'm going to drop $100 on something I've already seen. And I want to, and I hope that maybe one day I will just get the voice in my head saying, you should do this, you should support it, since you've already watched it without supporting it in any way. So
voices in my head just tell me to cut up animals.
Well, one of the other things about this release I'm looking forward to is everyone complaining that the fan sub was a better translation.
Oh, that's going to happen so hardcore, because let me tell you, everyone thinks, we were talking about aesthetic preference and whatnot last week and a little bit this week, fan sub aesthetic preference, people will get into, they will punch each other over that. Like, don't you translate too much, or don't you leave too much untranslated, or, you know. I think the group that did Headmasters is one of the groups where that argument comes up a lot, because, you know, that, I think it's TV Nihon, their preference is they like to leave in a lot of Japanese that doesn't have a full-on direct English translation, Or as some others have the preference where they'd like to see stuff like, you know, the biggest example being Tachi. People want to see Tachi as just being done as like, and the others. And then some other people are like, no, just leave Tachi because I know what it means. And
now, is this set only supposed to be subtitled or is it getting a dub?
I'm curious if they're going to put the star dub in just because.
It's not going to get dubbed. Let's say theoretically that did happen, that would have to increase the cost of the set, and I have to imagine that they are trying to pinch pennies to get this out as cheap as possible and still make a profit.
What about the star dub, though?
Without sacrificing quality.
Oh.
But...
That
solves two questions right
well,
there.
The star dub would be so great as an Easter. It's just because I can't imagine the star dub even costs money anymore. It would just be a funny thing to stick in as like some secret option, but that's kind of for long term fan posterity too.
I know there's a lot of people that get hung up on sub over dub I've just started watching Gurren Lagann, and I've had two people question me now over the fact that I'm watching it sub or dubbed because that's the only option Netflix is giving me at the moment. But, I had my phase where I was like, no, I have to hear the original Japanese voice acting. Bully, I'm missing all the subtlety of the animation because I'm reading.
Huh? I just like I have that thing too, like where you know I can obviously tell that in most of the time like the acting is much much better in the original.
And, yeah, usually.
But yeah, you do lose. You know, you want to look at the cartoon too, so you end up kind of watching it twice.
Yeah, and like an example for me is I've watched The Castle of Castellano multiple times, subtitled and dubbed. They're both on the disc, and the translation is nearly identical, except for like there's one joke that's funnier in the subtitles than it is in the dub. Otherwise, you know, and I've found out that to be the case a lot of times. Like I watched the first Tenchi series in both, and they're close enough to where I don't feel like I'm missing anything with the dub. Except for, you know, getting to see the animation better.
Mm-hmm. I'm really sure, you know, that whole discussion, when this DVD comes out, that's going to be a big, potentially ugly thread. I don't mean to be a pessimist. But
I'm not going to be within 1,000 miles of it.
Yeah. All those of you out there who, you know, it's not, you know, if you feel very vehemently about subtitles or not, you know, just step back. Just remember, so everyone likes something different. And like personally, I love subtitles. I love it. I don't care if they take liberties or not, because I'm at the point now where usually if liberties are taken, I can hear in the Japanese at least like what the idea that was being said was. So it's like I don't miss out too much. But I know there are people who rely a lot more on the translation. So we'll see when it comes out.
Can I answer the question?
No. Okay.
I'm gonna get it.
Hooray!
I have the old one, the non-region 1 version, and I don't have any region free players, so I can't watch it. So,
aww.
It'll be nice just to have the region 1, because you know, there's even sometimes for research, if you need to look up a character and do screen grabs and stuff, it's a pain in the butt to have to switch your regions.
I'm also curious if Shout Factory is going to give the animation like the same kind of remastering treatment that they gave the G1 cartoon. That could be really cool too, because I don't know what the quality is on the Headmaster's like Laserdisc release or anything. I'm guessing it's really good, but it'd be neat if they were able to bring out something that's, you know, a much higher quality than anything most of us have seen on the web from that series or from future.
That would be cool, yeah.
Or get Mainframe to re-render Beast Wars in high def. Just, you know.
I don't know if that would that matter at this point. It's still
probably not.
I mean, you're honestly
everything's still,
you know,
gonna be so stilted. And,
yeah, you watch Beast Wars for the story and for the, you know, the designs are cool, but it's, yeah, you're watching it for the characters in the story.
Just retexture the whole show and re-render the whole thing. It'll only take a couple days, right?
Yeah, like with CGI or computer animated movies and TV. I personally, like, my eyes have the same problem that I have with older 3D video games. Like, some stuff just doesn't hold up. It doesn't work where 2D can survive longer, in my opinion.
There's something about
I'd rather play an old sprite-based game from, like, the Super Nintendo or the NES than a PlayStation 1 game.
Isn't that weird? It's almost like that stuff is... It's like old, you know, black and white Mickey Mouse cartoons where that's kind of cool looking. I don't know. There's something really, I don't know if it's just nostalgia or what, but I always think that stuff looks kind of cool.
I've always kind of figured, like, on a technical level, like, old CG is always going to suffer for its time, whereas even, like, older hand-drawn, and even bad older hand-drawn, has the advantage of, like, it was still drawn. It didn't rely on existing technology as much. So, like, you know, even the worst speedline loaded anime show will have every now and then a really well drawn frame that, you know, perhaps they just focus on for 5 minutes as dialogue plays over it. But it still tends to, like, there's going to be those moments where it's like, well, it still looks pretty cool. Whereas if it was done in CG and badly and 10 years ago, like, for best example I can think of would probably be that Voltron CG cartoon. I kind of endearingly have a little bit of a spot in my heart for, but not for any good reason.
I couldn't watch that when it was on, let alone think about going back and experiencing it.
That company's stuff I could always spot because it's like they do this weird, like, it looks like they have people in mocap suits to do the animation.
Yeah.
And it just plays so weird, especially when people talk, because they used a lip syncing program so that, like, the lips would move perfectly in time with what's being said. But that also meant that they didn't match the body language at all. So these guys would just be sitting there kind of bobbing left and right with their mouths moving extremely fast and perfectly. It was so weird to watch.
Well, there was like this whole fad at one point in the 90s of, like, real-time rendering. And, like, that first show Leo Laporte was on, where he was the voice of this CGI character in the real world. Like, that was real-time rendered, and Bobcat Goldthwait did the voice of some dog.
I remember that.
And that was real-time rendered, and it all has that look. And that Voltron show had that look, and I always assumed that show used real-time rendering for the bulk of the animation.
Yeah, it looked... If you've never seen it, dear listener, go look it up. Trust me, it's interesting.
And be glad that real-time rendering seems to be gone.
Yeah. Look at it and be glad it's in the past.
I think Beast Machines will still look cool, though, because it's so kind of stylized. You know, I always loved the way they would do explosions and stuff, because it wasn't, you know, they weren't trying to be realistic like Beast Wars, where, you know, I had, like, blades of grass and whatnot. You know, it seems like they were really smart with the way they stylized that show. It kind of hid some of the technical, you know, technology flaws.
Yeah, I even think
with Beast Wars, when they start getting into, like, the transmetal phase, where now they're more like mechanical animals than real looking animals, I think that even holds up better than.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can definitely see them progress from season to season, getting better and better. You know, it's and by season three, it's looking pretty cool. Some of that stuff.
I was just going to go off of what you guys are saying. The best mainframe stuff I've seen is the stuff where you can take a still frame of it, and even if the models look old, the lighting and the composition and the way that the still image looks so cool, you don't even notice the technology until you look at it a bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to me the best mainframe stuff from later Beast Wars and whatnot.
And it's almost like, too, like, the, you know, it doesn't matter how clunky the animation is, you know, Inferno's face is always going to look amazingly cool because it's just, like, it was such a cool design, you know, they really took those toys and gave them a lot of personality.
Yeah, I mean, this all, to me, kind of boils down to when it's not about the technology but about the artistic merit, then that's when that stuff really turns out well. Like, when you're not looking at it and seeing the technology, but you're looking at it and seeing the artistic intent, when it's at its best. I'm not even waving my hands around when I'm saying.
Sure.
I think this would be a marvelous time to take an intermission myself, and then we'll be back with what we got this week and some listener questions, as well as a startling revelation from me. Stay tuned.
What? We form Voltron and say peace. The good and mild will stand and link together as one man.
Fat Joe is down too. Let's lead this world peace through.
Hey yo, you know how we do. It's just common sense to be united at this.
And Mac 10 is with the twist to lead his role beast dish.
And Bam forms the head.
We form the blazing light.
Like bowling with strike. Obey your dish is Sprite.
Hip hop, you don't stop.
Voltron Source, you won this one, but.
Whatever, man.
No, I want to do it.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's the wrong direction.
Okay, you do it then.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wrong direction! 4, 3, 2, 1.
2, 3, 4, 5.
That was the best counting ever!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to WTF at TFW, where we can count! We really can. I want to briefly bring up something that this is left over from another podcast, but a while ago I mentioned I'd painted something. And since then, Seth posted pictures of his own paintings from way back when. So I just want to say, Seth, those were actually very nice paintings.
Yeah, when are you going to post yours?
Go check your Twitter right now.
No, I refuse.
Then you're never going to know. Paintings?
Okay, I'll look at it. And...
But
I'm trying to put something away real quick, and I don't know how it goes back into its box.
Four words.
I'm opening Twitter. Right.
Can anyone help Seth? Please write in with your answer.
I just remembered it goes in under the thing, not on top of the thing. Where is it?
That palette, Evangelist, for some reason, reminds me of my bedroom in the 70s.
Yeah, like, it does look very 70s. I just opened it.
Yeah,
just needs a little orange in the middle.
I was given the palette of yellow and violet and white and nothing else.
Oh, it looks brown.
Yeah,
maybe it's my monitor.
No, my picture is really bad. I got to take a better one.
Oh, it's a cool concept. Like where mine was, you know, oil class mandated. Topics. I mean, this is more original and artistic.
This painting makes me feel like this is the dawning of the age of the Evangelists. But that's all I know.
Well, it kind of reminds me, like, in my high school art class, like, me and this other dude, like, we didn't even know it until almost the end of the school year, but we were secretly kind of jealous of each other's drawing styles. Like, where I was kind of more inspired by comic books and would just draw stuff off the top of my head and be all kind of like action and kind of more imaginative. His stuff was more, kind of more realistic, and he needed photo reference, but it looked more like art, where mine looked like comic book. His looked like something you would actually hang on a wall. Mm. We were both secretly jealous of what the other guy was able to do, but just didn't know it until like the end of the year. And he's like, man, I wish I could draw like you. I'm like, what are you talking about? You draw awesome. It's like, no, it's just, but that's my problem.
No, you're awesome. No. Anyway, I really wanted to settle that while we were recording.
Well, it took you long enough.
Yeah. I actually almost forgot to take that picture, and then I was madly trying to find a missing piece of my soundboard. I was like, "Oh yeah, take a picture of the painting," and I took it from the worst angle. We're going to talk about what we got this week. So, Derek, what'd you get? I heard you got a big box.
Yeah. wasn't anything. I thought it was from. I'm expecting this big box from Big Bad. Had built up quite a pile of loot over the last couple, you know, maybe since January. And this big box came and it was not that one. I was very excited to open it, and then when I saw what it was, it was like...
It was
poo. I got nothing!
Oh.
Pass. Pass!
Well, I do know someone who totally succeeded at getting boxes this week. That being our very own Seth Buzzard.
Yeah, but just real quick, it's like... every day on Twitter through Foursquare, you're checking into like 10 different places that sell toys. And oh, well, you got absolutely nothing.
Well, like
you're on constant patrol.
I got that baby Ewok that I put in Thanos' hand.
Okay, there you go.
But
you got a baby Ewok.
No Transformers or anything. There was
constant patrol.
Yeah, I am a lot of patrols.
I like that. That's what the Foursquare thing is used for. Now it's like, how did you? You were there. You were at all these places.
So you have been to Toys R Us exactly 8 times since last week.
Yeah, I hope they don't start checking, you know, at work because I'll be like, you know, it shows up on Twitter. It's like, Derek Wyatt has arrived at the Warner Brothers Ranch at 11:15. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Like, I thought he was out doing some Xerox.
You know, when you check in, you could hit that little button and it doesn't tweet out.
Yeah,
so you can keep your movements more secret.
Kind of like people know where I am.
You like the danger?
People get worried if they don't know.
Danger.
Like the danger of getting caught.
I put a picture in the chat conference so you can see what I got this week.
He does not look happy with that Ewok.
What is this? Who put this in my toilet?
Okay, I have a question for you. That Thanos, did you find it, or did someone send you one?
Somebody sent me one. He sent me that and Captain Britain, because I have never seen that wave.
Yeah, same. I actually saw the wave, but I only saw like 2 dudes from it. Thanos would never showed up. I actually had a guy, a friend of mine, Oreo, from the forums, sent me one from like New Mexico to Florida. Otherwise, I never even would have seen one in my life.
I don't know what's going on with that distribution, because it was like... Like it just never, and we go like Seth monitors my activity, but we go every Thursday to we do a toy run.
Everybody on Twitter monitors your activity.
Yeah, right.
Your activity monitors us.
Yeah, like, oh my god, he's going there again.
Just buy something.
But we do go like every Thursday we do toy lunch, and we go out to Target and Toys R Us and couple other places maybe, and never once did I see any figures from that wave. So I hope that picks up, because I feel like they're, you know, those figures are starting to get better.
Thanos is definitely the best one of that entire series I've bought to date, in my opinion.
His the gold on him is so cool, because it's like a weird like gold lamé, you know, fabric. It just looks so cool. My favorite of all time is the Comic-Con Red Skull so far. That one is a fantastic, fantastic toy. The sculpt is really good. But now we're off topic again.
That's what Foursquare is going to do. I almost said that's what Formspring is going to do. We already went there.
Wait, I better check in on Foursquare that I'm on the podcast.
Now arriving at the podcast studio.
Yeah.
We're all in. So Seth, I saw that you succeeded at getting some boxes you were hoping to get.
Yes. My Reveltech madness is continuing, but it's getting near the end. I'm running out of stuff that I want, but there's going to be another Reveltech by next time. At least one more.
Did that T-Rex come out yet?
From what I've read, it's probably never going to come
out.
Yeah,
it's
bastards.
Due to licensing reasons, it was put on indefinite hold, because I guess they can't secure the license to release it, but they
apparently
didn't know that when they made it. So.
I don't mean to sidetrack us again, but that's what I heard, that they do the sculpting, and they make it up before they get the license. And I'm like, what? Why would you do that? It's just crazy.
Well, the real problem is they started showing it to everybody, and they put it in the little miniature catalogs that come in some of the figures. There's pictures of it. And it's like, maybe before you told anybody you did it, you should have nailed it down.
Well, yeah. that sounds like they thought they had the license, and then something happened. Because they wouldn't have put...
Because really? What I heard is they do those first, and then they go after the license.
Yeah, but they put it in their little Reveltech advertisement, little mini catalogs that they put inside the boxes. I've never seen it go that far without it being released.
One of the Reveltechs I got very recently had pictures of the T-Rex in it.
Hmm.
I wonder if that's like Good Smile doing something wrong, but I don't even know if they're still connected. No, they're not connected to them anymore. What am I saying?
Oh no, they haven't distributed
Good Smile's
text
busy
for like 2 years.
Yeah, Good Smile's busy making Figma's hard to get, from what I've been told.
Well, maybe the Rebel Tech people can retool it enough to where it's not the Jurassic Park T-Rex, but still an awesome T-Rex, and just put out non-specific Tyrannosaurus Rex.
But I want the Jurassic Park T-Rex.
You can't have one!
Fair.
Go to Japan and steal the one that they took pictures of.
Alright, I will. What did you get, by the way?
Alright, I'm gonna be off topic for a little while and kind of barrel through some of this stuff, because I don't like to dwell in those realms too long for fear of angering people.
I'm already mad.
But let's start with Figma. As part of my disease, I've bought several figures at this point for their accessories with absolutely no concern over the actual figure itself. So I got two K-On figures, because one came with like a big keyboard and the other came with a drum set, and I need to finish my band. I do want to investigate the figures a little bit more, like kind of see how the joints work and how pieces fit together compared to Rebel Tech, and just if for no other reason than to sort of just kind of learn a little bit more about the differences in the way these companies do stuff and have that experience. So I don't even know what these girls' names are. They're wearing school uniforms and apparently they have a band. That's all that I know about K-On.
Is Figma the one that's making the RoboCop? Was that Figma? Awesome. So those are pretty cool quality, pretty impressive.
The instruments look awesome.
They're better than the figures.
Well, I mean, these just came today. So really, all that I've done is taken the instruments out of the box and kind of looked at the girls a little bit, but haven't really spent much time checking them out. But just looking at this keyboard, there's tons of detail. Most of it's looks like it's tampoed on, because it's all pretty smooth, but just like all the little switches and knobs and whatnot that you would find on a big synthesizer is there. And like even on the back edge, like they've tampoed on like the myriad of import and outport points, and is incredibly detailed. The little stand that it sits on is kind of flimsy though. It doesn't quite square up right, and the little pegs that the keyboard attaches to it with don't really hold very well. So that's a little disappointing. The drum kit is ridiculous. It's really awesome. Just the myriad of toms and snares and cymbals and the little throne and the detail in the kick drum pedal. It's really good. These instruments are amazing. And I'm almost tempted to get the other three girls just for their guitars and basses if these instruments are as good as they are. Then I can make a huge jam band, because I already have two guitars and a bass from various Rebel Tech figures. And now I don't remember. Did I talk about the Detroit Metal City Rebel Tech last time?
I don't think those you are did. Cool. I'm pretty sure you didn't mention them.
I got those. You could get those guys pretty cheap nowadays. I got all three of them through Amazon, free shipping with Prime, and sort of picking and choosing where they came from. I got all three for $37, it was. Yeah.
Did you see that movie? Did you watch the movie?
No. I found trailers and I found some clips on YouTube.
It looks awesome. It was coming out right after we were leaving Japan. I was kind of bummed out that it wasn't out at the time.
What's the one with Gene Simmons?
Is he actually in it?
I have no idea. All the clips I saw were in Japanese.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The animation seemed kind of stiff.
Oh, it was the one I was talking about was live action.
Oh, okay. I just saw clips of the anime.
I think the animation was it was just a short that Studio 4C did. If I'm thinking of the same thing.
I don't know.
You saw. I don't know if they did more or not.
My understanding is it was originally a manga. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with those characters, the guitar and the bass that two of the characters come with, before I had gotten one of these Voltec, four lines who came with a guitar, that was much better. It seemed heftier these guitars are like really thin. But what I don't get with that set is how do you not have the drummer come with drums? I don't get how, except for to keep him in the same price point as the other two. Cause like with these K-On girls, the girl that comes with the drums is more expensive and comes in a bigger box to accommodate the drums. But the thing about that guy, and I don't know any of these people's names, I don't care. The thing with the drummer is he comes with two snakes that have about, I think each snake has 5 Revoltec joints in it.
Jeez.
And I mean, he's the one you can find the cheapest because he doesn't come with his drums and nobody loves that guy because he's a loser. But you know, get it for the snakes, if nothing else. Holy crap.
Can he beat the snakes together in some kind of percussive manner?
Well, he can hold the snakes by the ends of their tails. And in one review that I read, they refer to them as the snake drumsticks. So I'm assuming in the manga or anime, he uses snakes as drumsticks at some point.
Makes sense.
You get good acoustics out of those, I was going to say.
Yeah, but there's cool stuff with those figures too. Like the cape on the main guy works better than the Batman cape, in my opinion. One dude comes with a piece of like breathing out flame that you can then use the Revoltech stand to hold up, so it looks like he's blowing fire out of his mouth, and comes with a really elaborate shape. Microphone stand they're interesting characters, and for being able to pick them up as cheap as you can now, even not knowing anything about the anime, they're kind of cool to mess with. It just seems really weird that they wouldn't have a drum set.
Yeah, that's strange.
Right, and then rolling on the Revoltech train, I also got Batman, which is
there's a Revoltech train.
The capes don't work. If there is, it's highly articulated.
Man, that would be awesome.
When I got the Batman, I got inundated with questions about it, because a lot of the official photos for it aren't especially flattering. And the neck looks really weird, and the cape can look really weird, and a lot of that seems to have to do with how well you can pose it. I am really liking the Batman. I think he looks really great. The Christian Bale head, the unmasked head, kind of looks like Christian Bale. It's not a great representation of his face, but that's okay. And the cod piece on his suit kind of gets in the way of some leg poses, but the sculpting on the suit looks really great. And when you get the lighting right on the face, it looks great. And you just kind of got to be careful with the cape. And like where the cape is jointed Those side pieces are removable, so you could have them with a just like a straight down hanging cape that's not quite as bulky as it can be with the side pieces if you don't have the side pieces splayed out. So I like the Batman. I think a lot of people are going to pass on him from those official pictures and miss out. But I don't think he's anything to fear.
He's supposed to be. He's supposed to inspire fear.
He's the Dark Knight. He does it because someone has to. Or that, whatever that
was. I'm going to throw a link in the chat here that Gog Dog and Vangelis have already seen these pictures, but I'm going to throw it in for Derek's convenience.
Ayo.
And it features the last Reveltech I got since last time. I got Professor Layton.
I love that one. I got that one too.
And he seems like a good partner for Batman, so I took some pictures of them together.
It doesn't work pretty well.
I can see that matchup happening, actually.
I mean, he would probably be very helpful in solving some Riddler riddles. Mm-hmm. But he nailed those down pretty good. And just to make him look more badass, I gave him Jigen from Lupin. I gave him Jigen's hand so he could be making a fist and holding a revolver.
the realistic revolver. That's pretty funny.
So he looks kind of rough and tumble there.
Where's the picture where Batman and Layton are having tea?
The Layton came with those two K-On girls today.
Oh, okay.
And, I just had time to kind of pull them out of the box, swap the hands, and take those pictures before having to start getting ready for the recording. But, you know, I'm not done taking pictures, so there's going to be some tea and tables and all kinds of other stuff. And then, if you follow me on Twitter, you've probably already seen when I went to Japantown the other day, I found some blind pack food that is about to scale with Reveltex, maybe a little too big. So I have like some plates of gourmet food and a cheese cart and and some sushi and whatnot that I've posted a few pictures of. So I've got a lot of props to play with now. I kind of wish I got more of those while I was there. They were kind of pricey, like $6 a shot for those, like the set that the cheese cart came in. The sushi, I think, was $4 a bag.
$4 bag sushi.
Well, tiny little toy sushi. You could almost buy real edible sushi.
For that. I was going to say, yeah.
What's the scale on the toy sushi?
I don't know the official scale, but it's slightly bigger than to scale with a Voltec. I got some pictures of those I'll share, but I need to concentrate on what I'm talking about. then the last three things I've gotten are also off topic, but I'm going to bring it home to America.
Hey.
I'm going to bring it back to Hasbro, so at least it's kind of close. These are Hasbro products. Two of them are robots. Get closer and closer all the time. So my local Kmart, it's been an ongoing saga with them having bear pegs. The G.I. Joe pegs are still completely empty. The only Transformers that they have are still just those little Matchbox kind of cars. They have Power Core combiners from the repaint wave, that second wave, are still sitting there. I think they have a Human Alliance Sideswipe.
Hooray.
And a couple more Battle and Space boxes. And that's it.
I think mine's the same way. There's no Joes at all there. Just weird. Yeah.
And all the Transformer pegs are completely wiped out. No Legends, no Scouts, no Deluxes. And it's been that way for almost 2 months now. Then on the other side of the aisle where the Marvel figures have been, they've had 4 human torches from wave 1 of Marvel Universe.
Oh, really?
And once those, yeah. And I had talked to somebody at Kmart a couple years ago about how restocking works. And
because they didn't understand it, you were explaining it to them?
No, because I was asking them, like, when are you going to get more of these in? And he goes, well, the thing is, the computer automatically orders when stock gets down to 1 or 2 pieces, depending on the product. So I can see there's only 1 here, but if the computer's set to 2 and 1's missing, it's either been stolen or it's been moved to another part of the store and is behind something else. But I can now go and tell the computer to order more. But if they don't have somebody working the toy aisle that cares or is thinking about that stuff, and you have these 4 human torches sitting on the pegs, the computer's never going to reorder more Marvel toys.
Hmm.
So it's these 4 Wave 1 human torches that have been there forever.
Are they the?
Those have been moved to the clearance aisle.
Oh.
So, oh my god, maybe someday they'll get more Marvel figures.
Are they the ones with the white collars or the black collars?
I don't remember. Whenever I look at them, it's with disgust.
Would you like to? Would you? They're not the non-flaming ones, right?
Yeah, I think only his hair's on flame.
Would you like to pick up a couple of those for me?
I'll see if they're still in the clearance aisle.
Awesome.
I'll head over there tomorrow and take a look.
Thank you.
Yep.
If I knew that you had wanted them, I could have gotten you them years ago.
Well, I was kind of looking because I was complaining about how bad the Reed Richards figures are, and somebody had popped off the head of the one that comes with Ultron and put it on that Johnny Storm body, and it kind of looked better. So I want to check that out. And if they're clearanced out, then I wouldn't mind.
Okay. Yeah, I'll. I should be able to go over there tomorrow.
Sorry for derailing the topic again.
No, it's all right. Jeez. I mean, I was on my own little personal crusade, so why not come along? But they did restock the Iron Man section.
Oh,
weird. That's weird. So I grabbed some Iron Man figures I've never seen on pegs before. So I got the air assault drone. I got the weapon assault drone. And I got the Whiplash, the movie Whiplash, which is the toy is more realistic looking than the actual human being.
Oh, awesome.
As far as the face, the toy's face sculpt is more accurate to a human being than the actual guy.
Than Mickey Rourke.
Yes. I haven't opened them yet, so I can't comment on them any further. And which is probably better still, because I said I was just going to plow through these off-topic things, and I failed to do that.
I just wanted to throw out there, when you said aerosol drone, I thought you said aerosol drone, and I got really confused.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he got a Candroid that you didn't know about.
I love the aerosol Candroid. It's my favorite.
He's propelled through the air by pressurized chemicals.
Hazardous gases.
They look cool in the package, though. They're heavy. Yeah. The 2 drones are heavy.
Are those the ones that were in the Toys R Us 3-pack with Nick Fury?
Yeah, but the best one is the single pack. Is the Weapon Assault.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Weapon Assault comes with 2 sets of weapons for his hands and 2 different heads. So you can totally customize them.
That's cool. I've never seen anything but Iron Man. It's like, I think around me, they never sold out of Iron Man, so they never restocked with anything new.
But same here. I've never seen anything past the Guardsman wave. I had to go to a flea market guy from the States who visited a toy show here to get the Weapon Assault one. It's so worth it, though, because it's like it comes with chainsaws or whips, and it's got like an open head or an armored up head.
Yeah. Oh, man. I saw the air assault and the whatever the other one Seth got, because I got those a couple months ago. But they were never in the toy section. They put them in the electronics section next to the Iron Man DVDs.
What?
But most of, yeah. Like, every store everywhere in the United States is almost nothing but, like, Wave 1, Wave 2,
yeah.
Wave 3. But it's just nothing but just Iron Man's. And then all the other stuff, when it trickles out, they put it on the front, and then it sells out, and all the other stuff is... Some of these waves from Hasbro have just, it seems like they just overproduce so much stuff, and then we never get the other. And I don't know how distribution works, but it's, the Iron Man stuff is, it has to be an example of how not to do it, because that stuff has not moved in a year.
Through anywhere. Observation at this Kmart, they do it to themselves a lot. I've seen it happen over and over again, where they'll get the first wave of something new, it will sell out real quick. They'll get another case, it will sell out real quick. They'll get a third case, it will slowly sell out. They'll get another case, and it sits there for months. Because now everybody in the range of that store that wants it has it, and it's done. And then three waves pass before it finally sells and they get anything else in. So when I saw these, and they only had one each, and I was like, I can't risk wondering if I want this, because I'm sure somebody else will grab it, and I'll never see any of these things again.
I wonder if
these,
those are just...
came out a long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago.
I wonder if those are all just one to a case, and the rest are just chock full of Iron Man.
Oh no, it's the cases, as far as I know, the case assortments on the later cases aren't that bad, it's just that they're all new figures, so it's just like eight... new figures, two of each. But funny little aside, though, I think I mentioned this when I got them. There's a guy in the Iron Man thread on TFW who has army built enough of all those different drones to rebuild the scene from when they're unveiled.
What? I want to see that.
But there's three types of drones in the movie, though.
Did they
do all three toys?
No, there's two types that are only in box sets. The Toys R Us box set with Nick Fury has two of the missile launcher ones, and then there's a Sea Assault.
Right, but
he was asking
if all three of the ones that were in the movie got toys.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Sea Assault one is in a really chintzy little Walmart 3-pack, and it sucks. The like the gray one with the shoulder pads. I got one of him, and I don't.
It's Target in the United States.
Oh. I only know about Canada. Jerk.
Nationalist.
Yeah. Poutine.
So that's me.
All right. Gog.
More Revel Techs. Well, next time, ooh, I promise, and I can guarantee I will have Transformers to talk about.
In woo! Fact, unless things go wrong, I can promise that next episode I'll have Transformers to talk about.
I promise I won't be here.
Why do you hate us so much?
wow, dude.
Alright, I won't be here until the next odd show.
Had enough. Gog, how did your week go?
Well, I can promise I can talk about Transformers now.
Oh, whoa. What?
Mr. Special.
Oh, I got Transformers already.
Apparently they're all French.
Did you know Gog's from Louisiana? True story, only it's not.
I got three Transformers, and I really like all three of these quite a bit. First one, I'll just go in no particular order. I got a Lugnut from BBTS.
Yay!
Yeah, I adore this figure. I love Lugnut so much. I just get the impression that whoever designed this toy was a Lugnut fan because of all just the little similarities to the original. It's so good. It's like a perfect homage to a character. And I love animated Lugnut. I think his toy suffered from the Wave 1-ness of it, where I think that if he... I'm just saying.
I'm just going to go... sat over here for a minute.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't personally design the toy.
I did.
But I like the animated Lugnut. I think his hands could have been a little better, and his feet, like, I don't really like the way his heel tabs come out. I think if it would have been a bigger piece of plastic or something, it would have been a little better. And his mace, I might have a dud, but the mace on mine just does not work. Like, I have to sit there and keep tapping it in order for the little release gimmick to go off. So, I may have gotten a bad one. I don't know. But
did I tell you? I'll talk to Eric. Talk to Eric Stevenella. I talk to him every once in a while, and he said to me one time that he thought if he could go back and do it all over again, he would do Lugnut as leader size, and then do Magnus as a Mega or Voyager.
Ooh,
so, yeah,
would could have been.
I would be down for leader Lugnut for sure, but who knows? Maybe in the 30th anniversary line when they do Generations over again and get little samples from everyone, maybe we'll get a new Lugnut.
They'll wheel me out onto the stage.
I've waited so long for this moment.
I meant 30th anniversary of Transformers, not animated. That's only like 5 years from now.
30 years.
You're saying you're going to go senile in 5 years?
I've been alive for 30 years since animated.
God. Oh, man. I'll speak on your behalf. You'll be like, I'll like lean over and it'll be like, and I'll be like, he says, thank you.
You know, I once took a picture of him and Guillermo del Toro.
I did. I don't remember.
I have you in the toilet.
But anyway. But yeah, like his feet look like Lugnuts. The way his chest separates, the guns on the sides of the front of the plane that separates to either chest, the way the intakes are shoulders, like all that stuff. It just, even the way that the tail section on the back folds down, perpendicular to the ground, all that stuff. It just, it's like, they just put a lot of love into making this look like a classics style Lugnut.
Yeah, going off that little joke, actually, it feels like a Lugnut toy that would have been made if Lugnut was a character from the 80s that someone really loved.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just, somebody put a lot of love into this, I think.
I like that his mouth opens a lot.
Yeah, and the only thing that bums me out about that is the way his neck is designed is, at least on mine, unless I'm doing something wrong, the mouth only opens when the head is facing forward, because
yeah.
If you turn the head to either side, there's not enough clearance and it pushes the mouth shut. But it's
like,
a minor.
It's like that on the
United
one as well.
Never thought to turn his head.
Yeah,
well, my Lugnut can't. His head can't turn because it's mounted to the, you know.
Yeah, I was just saying it's purposeful to imitating the original toy. But I love the fingers. It's so good. Maybe about the only complaint is I wish he could move his arms back a little more. I guess if you adjust his little hunchback area, he can, but it whatever. Yeah, I have a couple minor nitpicks about it, but the rocket punch on mine, one of the hands, the spring and the trigger button doesn't seem to be as springy, so it tends to go off a little easy, whereas the other one rocks and locks solid. It's, you push in and it's like ka-chunk, and it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I just need to, I can't figure out how to open his forearm. I completely disassembled his arms, took the forearm off, took all the screws out, but it looks like the front part near the thumb is, it's clipped together where like you push it together and it click. And so I can't really figure out how to open that, but I only spent about 10 minutes trying to do it before we started the Skype call. So, but if anybody knows an easy way to do that, let me know. I'll take a look at it more later when I have time, but
My expensive Japanese United version doesn't have any problems with his forearms. They all work fine because Japan's so much better at doing toys.
Because they didn't come from the same mold or anything. But no, do you have one of these, Derek?
Yeah, I have the U.S. one. The United one is on its way.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it.
Good.
What was I gonna say about it? It's cool. It's very cool overall. I really like it. I'd like to see some more of that. I'd like to see a bulkhead. And
yeah.
You know, I guess Sentinel Prime is probably now gonna be red or something with the fire truck, but it would be cool to see Sentinel too.
Well, that's movie version.
He was in the Club Mag, in G1-ish style.
Oh yeah, he was.
You know, even if they call him, even if they call him Sentinel Minor or Sentinel Major or something, it'd be cool to get a toy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, even stuff that I've gotten before and after this that I really like, I think Lugnut is going to be my new favorite toy for a little while. I really like him. But enough of that. I also found a Scourge.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah, I am a bastard. Scourge is great. He is an outstanding toy.
Rub it in.
I am. I'm going to do it for the next 5 minutes. Yeah, it's the way his arms are transformed. Like, I saw it in P.O.'s video when he first put it up however many months ago. But I love the way it works. It's you like flip the arms up and then pull the section out and then flip it back down, and it almost seems like it's over engineered, but the final product is so good that I'm glad they did it like that. I mean, yeah, it leaves a little hole on the top of the shoulders, but again, it's really somebody stealing a car or something.
Stop stealing the cars.
There we go. They listen to you.
Evangelist speaks.
And I also like the way the wings work. I think I like the way the wings work when they just kind of look like the plane wings. And they have the hinge that's designed so that you can angle them down like that. And I love the look, and I think it makes such a good classic Scourge. But they also totally made it. And there was some debate about this. Some people were saying that they didn't think that that the cape was even there, that it was just a fan mode. But the way that when the wings open to make the quote-unquote cape mode, the wings are on a double joint. And so you can take that joint and kind of collapse it in on itself to make it look like an O2 overlapping pieces of plastic. Well, okay, not to make them look like two overlapping pieces of plastic, to actually make them two overlapping pieces of plastic. But the way that it works, if they had just intended that to just open up for weapon storage, it just would have been a simple hinge, and it would have opened up, and you would have popped the weapons in there and then closed it again. But the way that it's double-jointed like that and folds in on itself, there's really no doubt in my mind that it was designed to do that if you wanted to. But I like the fact that they kind of give you like the classics Scourge kind of, you look at him and you see G1 Scourge, but at the same time, it's an updated modern version of him, but they still let you kind of go back and do the, open cape version, and they give you a choice with that. But
it's cool because it plays into the whole modular wings thing, and it makes it look very like, there's two different ways to put him, but it's totally intentional. I kind of like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's really good. He's got a pretty good amount of poseability. He comes with blue eyes, which is a little strange because the light piping in the back of his head is clear, but they painted the eyes blue. So it wasn't just like they made it blue because the rest of him was blue. It was the edges of the clear are painted a light blue, but I unscrewed the head and popped out the light piping and painted mine red.
I hope the United one fixes that, because that's not cool.
I believe the United one, I was going to say it fixes it, but no, it changed the red on the windshields. I don't know if anyone's confirmed the eyes or not.
But it's a really easy fix, so,
yeah.
I mean, it took me all of, 10 seconds to fix it, so it, I mean, it's a little strange, but He looks way better with red eyes, especially against all the blue that's already there. The red eyes just really pop out, and I think it looks great. But yep, Scourge is awesome, and I can't wait for the repaint, whatever it is, Ratbat or Leozak or whoever. I can't wait to get my hands on this in another color scheme. I think Ratbat would look cool in a deep purple.
Grumble.
But at the same time, Leozak would look cool in a greenish color too.
I want both.
I do too.
Ratbat is a bat who turns into a cassette. He's not a Scourge repaint. Sorry.
He's not a guitar.
Nothing is a Scourge repaint. That's the problem. I mean, outside of the sweeps.
Like, if they did, Leozak or whatever, it would be cool. I just hate the humanoid Ratbat. It just gets under my skin.
I mean, I...
Pet peeve. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It was just a pet peeve of mine, so.
Oh. It's. It looks to me. I like the design enough, though, not to really care. And if they. And the way that the head is looking from the line art, I think it can work, but I don't mind. The Rat Bat was more of just a backstory. He wasn't like an ongoing character. Like, he wasn't walking around as Rat Bat. It was just more of like a flashback of that.
Why, though? Well, that makes no sense to me. Like, why he would go from being like, oh, I'm a senator and blah, 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 and then all of a sudden he's a little guy in Soundwave's.
Because he was enslaved.
He was a rat. Sorry. And now he's a bat.
I didn't mind it, but.
No good.
I don't think your opinion is wrong.
It's misguided, but it's not wrong.
I also got Deluxe G2 Laser Prime.
Ooh, how is he?
He's good. I'd have to say he's probably my least favorite of the new ones that I've gotten so far, deluxe wise being Cup and Scourge and him. His plastic feels maybe a tad bit cheaper than the others. But it doesn't feel bad by any means. It's just a different. It's kind of that plastic that feels a little more brittle.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. I'm not a plastic expert.
He's small. Is he smaller than the other deluxes?
Somebody
was saying he was
a tad. Short. He is pretty small. But is as simple as his transformation is. He does the way it works is still neat enough to let me enjoy it. I really like the way that the wheels work because the wheels really stick out in truck mode, and they have this off-center pivot point where they kind of rotate in on the side and then push in and peg in deeper into the leg so that the way that the tires stick out in truck mode, it's sunken in. And I guess they could have just made it where that you just click the wheels in, but the way that they... Again, they kind of over-engineered the wheels a little bit, and it's just, I don't know. It's neat the way that it works, and it I think it makes something that could have been really simple and make you feel like it was a figure compared to the rest of them, that it's not as interesting. They still manage to make little stuff like that interesting. And as simple as the chest transformation is, it's more of a, you just rotate the cab down, but then you push it down like a good inch, and then it locks into place, so... It has has a pivot point and then it slides. And again, it's nothing major, but it's something that should have been just really simple, but they made it interesting. And of course the matrix in his chest is really cool. The first thing I thought of when I got mine is like, oh man, I should paint this because it's not really painted. It's just kind of a gray, but you can see the molding. And because his chest is orange, you can't really see through it color-wise anyway, but I thought maybe you could paint that. And then I saw a couple people in the feedback thread for it, had done that, and I think it looks good. So I think I'm going to go in there with with either a silver or a gold Gundam marker and paint the actual matrix part to make it stand out from the rest of the plastic. But
nice. I want to see how this turns out.
His sword is really cool, too, because you can't even see the blade in truck mode and the way that the hitch folds down and becomes the hilt of the sword. It's really cool. So.
I'm so torn because I love, like, on the United version, I really like how the vehicle mode looks more so in the United version, but changing his sword to blue is totally not doing it for me.
Yeah, and but at the same time, I think the reason why they did that is because the clear bits on him are probably gang molded with the sword because his sword is orange, but at the cost of he has all these clear orange bits all over him, including his eyes. And so,
that's not cool.
Yeah, Scourge's eyes are Scourge's eyes are light blue, and Prime's eyes are orange. And I don't mind the blue eyes, but I've never liked orange eyes at all. It just doesn't look good to me. And I don't mind green. Of course, red and blue are fine. But on a toy, just orange plastic for eyes, it just always kind of seems off. So I'll probably, again, take his head apart and put some blue paint on there. But.
One very important question. Is it going to look, will it look good if it's ever repainted into Toxitron?
Yeah, absolutely. nothing. What could look bad repainted his Toxitron.
I have no idea.
Nothing. That's
amazing. Amazing.
I'm really tempted to grab the, like, I like the way it looks, and I'm probably going to pick up the Reveal the Shield version, but I'm kind of tempted to grab the United one and then, like, give him the Reveal the Shield sword. But I don't know if I want to spend that much just to have a cool looking version of, because like you said, he also strikes me as not the best of that wave. Not to say he's bad, but I don't know if I want to spend all the money just to have like a nicer looking one with blue eyes and a red sword or orange sword. So I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel this the same of Lugnut, and I admit Derek, I think, was the first one that, he's probably not the first one that ever thought of it, but he was the first one that I had seen mention it on Twitter, where he said that he wondered what the United version looked like with the Hasbro head.
Yeah, because the United version has more purple,
right? Yeah.
But it has a purple head, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the Hasbro one is the more accurate head color.
Yeah,
I hope I can find a Hasbro one, then I'll do it for. I'm sure someone has already done it, but if,
mm-hmm. But I was convinced for the longest time that I preferred the United version, and in some ways I do, because I really like the purple, but I don't regret at all picking up the Hasbro version, and I really came around on that and ended up really liking it in its own right.
I think you're better off, but
I like the toy so much now where I want more Lugnut, and I think at BotCon I'm going to try to, because I just don't want to pay the price on top of shipping.
Yeah.
But I think at BotCon, if I can find a decent price for it without having to pay shipping, I think I'm going to double dip on it, and I may do a head swap.
Welcome to the club. So, I'm totally cool with double dipping on it, and I want to find the Hasbro version, because the United one,
desire to double dip on any. Yeah, like I haven't wanted to double dip on any figure lately, but Lugnut I think is going to be the exception, because I love this figure. I love this mold so much.
I really like the United one. It's just that when I saw that he was a dark green and not black, I was at first going like, oh, and having him in hand, the dark green is not bad, but it is a really kind of like it. You lose stuff in that green, and I don't know. Like it's not a bad green, but it does mute a lot of his sculpted detail. And I think the lighter color of the Hasbro one really brings a lot of it out. So.
I don't know. That's I'm gonna get them both, because Lugnut. I think they both look good in different ways.
Lugnut.
Yeah, because Lugnut. Well, one looks more like regular Lugnut, and one looks more like Atomic Lugnut. So,
well, I guess.
I mean, in their own homage-y way, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I don't have United one yet, so I think I'm gonna end up liking the Hasbro one better because of the head. That's my thought right now.
Are you gonna do the head swap, you think?
I may try it, but I'll probably put them back, because I'm, you know, I don't know if I'll get like four, and then, you know, to have like three different versions.
Why wouldn't you get four?
Just toss out the body of the other one and just keep the head.
But I have a Wheeljack in the mail, but he has not gotten here yet, so I will talk about him in 139, unless something crazy happens, like
the pops up right
Wicked
now.
Witch of the West like swoops down and steals my cargo plane or something.
Or there's a UPS delivery right now.
Hello? Are you podcasting in there? Gross.
Got a few off-topic things. I'll go through them quickly. Found the new Destro with the minigun and the briefcase full of money.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it looks cool. He looks like really Destro bad. Meets Gears of War. That's and cool. It's... the only thing is I need to mess with him a little more, but I need to figure out a good way for him to hold his minigun, because I really haven't found the sweet spot yet, and I can get him to hold it. It just feels really stiff, because the minigun has this control, or this like a control arm, like the heavy gunners from the Aliens movie,
right.
The second one, where they had those giant pulse cannons it had this arm that attached to their gear, so if they let go of the gun, it would kind of sit there. So, and yeah, Destro totally like has that going on, but it only goes into one position, and I just feel like I'm doing it wrong, but I haven't really messed with him much, so.
Did you find him in the store, or you pre-ordered
him? I found him in a store. He's at Toys R Us.
Man, Toys R Us sucks here. What's going
on? Mine does too. I was really surprised when they put these out, because they still have, like, the Wave 1 movie stuff from G.I. Joe.
I know.
And then these. And it, so it's really, like, it was this, and then you take it off, and it was a Baroness from movie Wave 1. So it's really weird.
Seth, do you have you been keeping up with any of this G.I. Joe stuff? Because I'm recalling your former Joe.
Empty pegs at Kmart.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of that Destro. That, if I see that Destro, I'm totally going to get it. But
yeah.
I haven't had a chance to get out to a Toys R Us. I mean, coming back from San Francisco the other day, we passed a Toys R Us, but I had spent so much money already that day, and I was like, I can't go over there.
Why did they first show that?
I'm doing a cryptic hint about another podcast episode. That's all.
Oh, I was just going
to
ask. No,
I went to get Japanese food in Japan Center.
Of course,
and it was really good.
Good dining company is a hint. Anyway,
GDC.
But the best part of that Destro is, like, you can open up his briefcase. He has money in different countries, and you can take all the piles of money out, and they're, like, individually wrapped.
Oh, really?
That's so awesome.
That's awesome.
So cool.
You can just have him make it rain or whatever. So
yes.
What else? I might have mentioned. No, I didn't. No, I said they were in the mail last time, but I got my last two D-Style Ingram model kits from Kotobukiya. Built Ingram 1 and Ingram 2, and they are really rad. And I don't know. The only thing that they've shown from the D-Style line that's coming out is the Dan Kuga. And I'm not sure if I'm going to get that yet or not. But I may toss it in on Ami order if I order anything, because they're pretty cheap. I just can't justify shipping it by itself. But yeah. I like these kits enough, I think, that I don't have any real vested interest in Dan Kuga, but they're so fun to make, and this is an all-new mold, so I may get it. But, yeah, they are cool. So now I have the whole family together, Ingram 1, Ingram 2, Griffin, and Type 0. So I need to finish painting them. There's a couple of apps that are missing, but... And then Unit 2 came with the little super deformed squad car, so I actually have 5. Got Reveltech Gunbuster.
Oh! I was like, shouldn't we talk about it? But I was like, we did off the record last time.
The new one, the original Gunbuster.
Oh, the original one.
It just came out. Yeah, it's... I don't think I like it that much.
Oh, no.
I'm really disappointed.
We talked yesterday, and you'd mentioned you were kind of on the fence, but have you...
I don't know. It's, on one hand, it's really cool because it can transform into the two Buster machines, and it comes with a stand that you can mount both of them to.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat, and I think from a lot of the opinions I've heard, a lot of people are going to leave them in those modes because it's a cool little way to display them, whereas with the figures that do transform, you generally want to leave that in robot mode, I think, most of the time. But,
mm-hmm.
It's just the way that I don't know if it was a concession made because it parts form, but most of the joints, especially the hands and the arms, are just straight mono shaft, but they have no type of mushrooming at the ends to keep it locked in. So you'll go to move the arm, and then the arm will just fall off, or you'll go to twist the hand or put an accessory in the hand, and the hand will just pop off because there's nothing really keeping it in that well. And it's like there's seams in the legs where you take the panels off so that when you parts form it into the Buster machines, they fit together better. But then when you bend the knee to put them into like a cool pose, it pushes the seam apart. So you have this giant seam where the legs are kind of separating. And it's just, it's, and the biggest sin of all, and of course everyone knows this, but why did they not include a piece for the arms folded?
And it was worse.
Every other Gunbuster figure has had the ability to do that. Even the SOC, like, pulled the arm panels off, and it can still do it.
But what's worse is they always take promo pictures going, like, no, look, it can do it. And they try to make it do it.
It's doing the Macarena.
Yeah, it's like, it's not working, guys.
It's just two arms side by side. It looks like Madonna singing En Vogue or something. It's not, it's not arms crossed. And, like, even Yamaguchi, I love Yamaguchi, but... I don't know how he designed a posable Kyoto figure of the Gunbuster, like months or a year or two before the Reveltech line debuted, and it came with the optional chest piece with the arms molded in for the crossed arms piece. But I just don't know how that they can do that. On the other hand, the chest armor does pull off, and he has the hole in his chest from where he pulls out the degeneracy reactor, mm-hmm. and it comes with wires that you can plug into the chest, and that's cool. So I think if I ever displayed him in robot mode, he would probably be doing an epic rip out my heart pose. But
yeah, yeah, and great beam effect for the forehead too. I gotta say,
yeah, it's just really fiddly. And the thrusters on the back, they don't even have clicky joints; they're just on little joints that just bend without any type of friction, really. And so every time you go to pick him up, the thrusters just go in every direction, like like some dude walking on ice and.
Whoa!
Latex-coated bath slippers or something. I don't know. But, so, yeah, I'm a little disappointed. So, as much fun as Seth has been having with the Reveltechs and me being the Reveltech apologist for all these years, I'm really kind of bummed out by it. But whatever.
It sucks, too, because that's the one Reveltech everyone thought it was going to turn out great.
Everyone has been asking for a Reveltech figure since the line came out in 06 or 07.
Yeah.
And it just, it's really anticlimactic, and it's kind of a shame, so.
Yeah.
But, whatever. And I got the, same figure you got last time we talked, was the Ultra Act Kaiser Belial.
Yep.
And, yeah, that dude is cool. I'm glad that I got him. Don't really know much about Ultra Act or SH Figure Arts by any means, but I'd say really about my only complaint with him is his ankle articulation is a little bit lacking.
He's got weird ankles because there's actually like a certain orientation that you have to swivel those curved pieces that they're attached to get more mm-hmm. forward and
yeah.
backward tilt.
Yeah, I finally figured that part out, but even so, it only yeah. adds like a couple of millimeters of range. It's
a bummer because all the other Ultra Acts have amazingly done ankles. Belial is like
I thought it was just a concession made to the Ultra Act line as a whole.
No.
I didn't realize
the rival character to him, Zero, has like the best plastic ball joint ankles I've seen in ages. They're cut beautifully, and so it kind of bummed me out that Belial, like, that's really his biggest flaw, is that the ankles ended up just weird. Like,
yeah, and it's minor. I can still get some really cool poses out of him, and I got a Tomashi stage to go with him, thanks to my friend Jai D recommended it. But
hey.
He's really cool. I love the cape. I love the way you can clip off like the front right quarter of the cape and replace it with one where the arm can come through, and he has so many possibilities and so many photo opportunities.
The mouth.
Yeah, he's a really very photogenic figure. So
such a cool design, though.
It is, and that's man, I have no man. Interest in Ultraman so at all. But when I saw, I mean, you can just listen to 135 when Vangelis was like, "Yeah, I got this," and he posted pics in the Skype chat, and I was like, "Whoa!" Like I was blown away by how awesome it was, and here it is 2 weeks later, I bought one EMS, and now I got one. So
that's why the movie that he debuted in, like I always tell people, I didn't care anything for Ultraman until I saw that movie, in part because it was directed so well, but also in part because he was the villain of it, and that's a great, like, him as a villain is way cooler to me than any kind of Godzilla-ish monster, because he actually looks like an antagonist to me.
Well, he's an evil Ultraman, right?
Yeah, so. he's like the evil Ultraman, pretty much.
Yeah.
But so. any monster other than Gatomon, right? Because that's the best one. And then that guy, then Belial.
Yeah.
I'll always recommend that movie because it's fun to watch, but I also sent you the only Belial clip you ever need to see, which is when he's in the movie theater.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't even know if I want to get into the fiction, because just the fact that I don't know who he is, he's just this badass walking around in a cape and in giant red claws, it's enough for me. But at the same time, I still kind of want to see him in action, so I think I'll check out the movie. And even if I don't like it, I don't care. I still think it's a great character design that I can appreciate. It's one of those things that, you know, and no offense to Kamen Rider at all, I don't have any interest in it, and the designs really don't do anything for me, with the exception of Skull. And I'll always say that I think Kamen Rider Skull looks great, because the Kamen Rider design walking around in a fedora is just ridiculous and cool, awesome. and handsome and everything, and all wrapped into one. But it's just, this design for me is just something that it crosses the borders of my interest, and I could care less. It's kind of like seeing a cool robot design. Like, you're like, oh, I don't care what that is. That's awesome. I like it. It's the same with this. And usually with the humanoid figures, it's harder for that to reach the reach across those
boundaries
for me.
That's how most people get into that live action stuff. In my experience, a lot of people get into that stuff without someone like force feeding it to them. Is they just saw a suit design that they thought was cool amidst a bunch of suit designs that did nothing for them, and they're like, that suit looks cool. I'm gonna go watch what it's in to see what it does, and then that's kind of where it spirals out from.
Yeah, and that happens to me all the time with robots, just not so much with tokusatsu, so.
Yeah.
I just love the concept of the evil opposite, you know?
Oh, yeah,
that's
for sure.
Just such a cool, you know, take on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they play him really well. Like, I'm glad that that cape version is actually from a movie I haven't seen, because that's from the second movie he's in, and I was thinking the whole time of that first movie, I'm like, I hope they don't kill him off, because this is like the best antagonist Ultraman has had, in my opinion, like in terms of drawing someone into it like it did with me. So I was like, don't get rid of him, because right now he is my antagonist in this whole franchise. And so seeing him back with the cape, I'm like, all right, and now he's an evil space pirate. I dig it.
Yeah, the only version of Ultraman I ever had experience with was the original local station aired episodes when I was in kindergarten.
Oh, man.
And there was no villain. It was just the monster of the episode sort of thing. Like, here's a monster. Ultraman got to stop him. And O's little heart light is blinking, so he's got to stop messing around and just laser the dude in half and fly back to the sun or whatever the hell. But I really want that original style Ultraman Ultra Act.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting a re-release pretty soon. Hopefully better quality than the first run. And he comes with a red cape that you can put on your skeleton. Just saying.
I think it's going to be too big. Because I saw some other Ultra Act figures while I was in Japantown, and they seem bigger.
It's pretty big, but it comes with its own, like, clear block of plastic to stuff the bottom into so it can stay standing without actually needing to balance. You can just...
I saw a really cool review of it, of this dude in Japan. Looks like he owns a toy store or something.
Oh.
And he was... it's a recording of a live stream.
Oh, that's the CS Toys guy, I think. If that's what I'm thinking
is
of.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He pronounces... He kept pronouncing it Ultra Act Ultraman.
Yeah.
And it was fun listening. Because it was fun to watch, because he was totally geeking out over it. You could tell that he really loved it. So that just made it fun to watch, because like when he's looking at the box and you see Ultraman in his flying pose, he's like, oh, the flying pose. They never have done this right before. It's like, oh, this is amazing.
I like that guy.
Yeah, it is amazing.
He does Ustream stuff quite a bit, because he runs a store, and so his store's kind of gimmick is that you can tune in and watch anything you buy from them getting packed, and you can like interact with the guy who owns the store by going into his Ustream chat, and like when he gets shipments in, he does a Ustream show opening up the boxes, going like, "Here's what we got in." That's pop one open and mess around with it. He's I don't know. I like him. His name is Mr. S, as far as I know.
Oh man. Sounds like he's going to sell you a Mogwai. The other thing that I like about Belial is he looks like this kind of slow prodding, I wouldn't even say maybe elderly, but almost just kind of decrepit evil dude with crazy eyes under the cape. But then when he takes the cape off, he's like this athletic, evil, giant, clawed, super fast, demon-looking thing. And it just, the contrast between that, because it just looks like if you approached him and he just looks like under that cape, he would be all, like, slow and everything, but then when he's ready to go, he takes the cape off, and it's like it's almost like a transformation.
You mean
I don't know if that reflects anything in the movies, but in the toy form, that the differences between the two really... really work for me. And especially because the way that the cape is, you have to have him hunched over in order for the cape to hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's he's taller without the cape, and that cape just looks like it's so big and heavy, and I don't know. I love the difference between the two. It's like you have two completely separate figures with two different personalities.
Well,
but it's almost like a transformation.
With the first movie he's in, he doesn't have the cape, but when he's first presented, and in the trailers I saw, he was just presented, he was always hunched over with his big staff, or he's walking really slowly. And when you first see him, he's walking really slowly because he's coming out of prison or something like that. So you're like, I was like, okay, he's just going to be like a stomping, slow-moving Ultraman villain. Then he gets in a fight scene, and the dude is moving super fast, wire-foo blue screen stuff. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, awesome. I'm glad to hear that, because that's exactly how I picture him, the difference between him walking around in his cape compared to taking it off and kicking ass.
He moves super fast, and then that stick, he literally, he fights with it like a stick, but then he holds it like a shotgun and shoots Ultraman in the face with it.
I gotta get that movie.
It's awesome.
Yeah, like
he whips it around, balances, cocks it on his shoulder, and like wields it like a shotgun. I was laughing my head off. It was so cool.
Is that movie actually out here?
No, but the Blu-ray has English subtitles, and you can get it online if you really want to. It's all over the place.
Oh, cool.
It's funny. Funny story. The English subtitles in that movie, it had an American guy doing the score, so they made him crappy subtitles so he'd know what was going on so he could make the score for the movie, and then they just took those subtitles and reworded them a whole bunch, and that's the English subtitle track. So it's really inaccurate, but it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
But, yep, that's all I got. The only other thing I'd say is I got Pixel Junk Shooter 2 on the PS3, and if you like Pixel Junk Shooter, you need to buy this one because I think it's better.
Shooter in the junk. Looks cool. I didn't get much this week, so I'm going to be really quick. But I'm going to also... I found this is really helping. I'll provide pictures of what I got so that I'm not just declaring a bunch of stuff and not really helping anyone understand what it is. So I got a bug man, and here's the trick of this bug man. He's actually a bird bug man because he's entirely bird-based. He's this red dude. There's also a group shot. He's the red one in the middle.
Bird bugs don't exist!
They do now, baby! I really like his design. For some reason, I really enjoy the birdiness of it. And also, he has this really cool effect. His eyes and his mouth plate are painted silver, and then there's just a giant clear red faceplate over top, and it makes for a really cool glowing look. Also, I got a DVD in the mail. I got Collide's live DVD. They're a group whose music I really enjoy. I'm only bringing this up primarily because, A, it's a good DVD. It's their one-night-only concert they did at the El Rey in 06. But also, I tweeted about it, and then Collide tweeted me back, and I got all fanboying out. And I was like, Collide's talking to me! Hooray! Great music. They're fully independent. So if you're going to buy any, don't be dumb like me and buy it all on Amazon and stuff. Just go to their website and buy it from them, because then they get 100% of the profits, and they deserve it. Also, today I went on Ustream, because I got a super expensive-y thing, and it's this giant box of evil USB sticks from a Kamen Rider show I like. It's basically, this is the closest thing Bandai does to pretty much full-on prop replicas. So they took a bunch of their existing toy designs, they dolled them up to look a lot more like the show pieces or props, and then if you push the button, it says words. So it really pleases me a whole bunch because I adore the show these came from. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, this must be what it's like to be like that one guy who buys the replica Iron Man helmet because he loves Iron Man so much. Because to me, I could never understand like buying prop replicas like the Hellboy pistol or anything. I was like, that's cool, but they cost like $500. And then I just
these aren't working USB sticks, are they?
No.
Oh, okay.
They did release versions of some of these, which were basically plastic shells that you put over a 2-gig USB stick, but the price of those was insane for how little they did. These ones are just, they're basically just toys that are painted nicely.
I seriously thought you bought, like, a collector's set of 40 USB sticks. And then I was like, no wonder this is expensive. That would have been epic, but...
It was still pretty heavy because each of those sticks has two watch batteries in it. So that box not only contains all those sticks, but also contains 70 watch batteries. it was heavy.
Wow. It's in a Botcon box.
Yeah, huge box. Like, this box is bigger than an extra large pizza box.
It's chipboard?
Cardboard, primarily. Oh, okay. Really, really thick cardboard. Like, I only think it's cardboard because I can feel kind of a papery feel to it, but it's dead sturdy, and it has all the cut foam inside. It's lovely. And it's something
A few weeks ago, I was just going to say, a few weeks ago, I was like looking through some web stores, and I sort of stumbled into like the prop replica section, and I think I said to GOG over AIM, like, if I ever won the lottery, I would make the awesome arsenal of prop weapons. Like, because I'm looking at like all these Star Trek phasers, like different eras, and Malcolm's pistol from Firefly and lightsabers, and I would get all this awesome stuff. Conan's sword, just have a room full of fake ass weapons.
Have them in a cabinet, you know, one of those double door cabinets that swings open.
It's one of those things where it's like, I think about it and it's like, you know, these things, they don't do much. And especially like other prop replicas often don't do anything. And in fact, are sometimes welded onto a stand. But I'm like, I'm kind of understanding where it comes from now, even though mine are all just dinky little fake USB sticks. You know, at the end of the day, all you need is some money, like my stick says.
Money!
You just need some money. I only bring up that stick because I posted a video of these things on Twitter a while ago when I was waiting for them to come in, and Seth was all like, what's the one that said money?
And I think I said, I have no idea what this is, but I like the money one.
Yeah. So that's what I got. Also, just a little segue, but I found out something via a bunch of people chatting about it on Twitter, talking about prop replicas. Apparently someone's going to make like a replica Johnny Fives.
What?
Like custom to order. Really expensive, but they're gonna do like replica Johnny Fives. And I was like, I now realize that I probably never, like, I felt bad because I was like, so many people are jazzed about him. I was like, maybe I just don't like Short Circuit as much as everyone else. Like, I like it, but I'm not even considering.
Yeah,
those robots weird. Were designed to be weapons, but they would not make it into my fantasy lottery.
In your cabinet.
Weapon. What about replica, Johnny Five? Arsenal. Johnny Five with Conan's sword.
No. Oh.
I think I'd rather have a Wally, like a life-size Wally.
That'd be cool. There you go.
Because he has tank treads at least, right? Well, does Johnny Five have tank treads? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not as cool still.
The world of expensive
money ass
toys. We got some listener questions to finish this off, because really the only spoiler news is like a magazine article, and I don't know if, like, unless, did you guys really want to discuss that magazine article? Because I'm not really super pumped about it.
Nope. I don't even know what it is. So.
I'd rather do listener questions.
The DJW has spoken.
We're gonna,
not bedtime.
The stuff in that article is stuff that we're going to, I think, get in far better detail probably over the next week or two. I'd rather cover some listener questions myself. I got a couple lined up. Our first one is from TX Grimlock.
Oh, awesome. Let's go.
Greetings, Vangelis and Co. I'm a longtime listener and first-time member/person to ask questions to you guys. Does he mean he's the first person to ask us? No. I'm confused.
Longtime person, I think.
If you don't answer these, it means I did something wrong. You didn't.
Let's not. Give him a complex.
I have only four questions, and then with three asterisks on either side, warning, they get weirder. Number one.
Where do you find these people?
If you have the chance to reintroduce one obscure TF character, human, transformer, or hologram, who would it be? Well, mine would be Mustache Man from the Transformers movie. But GOG, what about you?
Obscure.
Who is obscure? Yeah.
Auto Trooper. I want to see more Auto Troopers.
Hell yeah!
I don't know if that's really obscure, but I mean they were in Kiss Play and then made some cameos in animated, so I guess they're kind of on this side of obscure, but yeah, let's we'll see more of them.
Alrighty. Seth, what about you? Who's obscure? Who do you like?
I would like to see G.I. Joe sized and quality all the good human characters, all the interesting ones from G1, like Chip.
Courage.
Carly. And Dr. Archival. And Old Snake.
Yeah.
Boom.
And that other guy. And that general from one episode.
Carbamia?
And and the one where the dude
Lord Chumley,
when Spike and Hound are walking through a museum and there's some punk rockers and one of them goes, "No, that's heavy metal." That punk rocker definitely needs a figure.
Derek J. Wyatt, what obscure character would you bring back?
At least outside of the ones I've already tried to bring back?
I think so, yeah.
In my own way. Sure. I kind of like Seth's idea. I would, you know, do some of the Japanese characters like Cancer and some of those guys.
That wasn't my idea.
What's that?
Guess my idea was the awesome human characters.
That's what I'm talking
Japanese
about.
Japanese Cancer.
The awesome human characters from Japan in their, you know, technically G1.
Alrighty. I've been a little distracted because this next question seems to have somewhat misunderstood the nature of numbering.
is this number B?
Let's just read it, and people will discover as our okay. So question number two: a ton of people say that they want characters from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure that they don't own in Marvel vs. Capcom. Followed by question number three: three comma. If by some weird event they allow Transformers in the game, Marvel vs. Capcom, who would you like to see, in brackets, told you it'll get weird, but you can take it? Gog, you're playing MVC3, so what Transformer do you want to see in it?
I mean, it would have to be something fairly human-sized, so... But I think like some of the cassette bots would work well because they're about human sized and they have like crazy powers. Like you could have Frenzy and Rumble, like some incarnations of them. They can open up their mouth and like scream sound waves, and then their arms can convert to the pile drivers and do that. So I'd say Frenzy and Rumble would probably be the best, I would say, outside of maybe some human characters, but none of the human characters would really have any. That and some of the human villains from animated. Like, imagine Angry Archer.
That would work.
He can shoot his arrows. That would be great because the Taskmaster can kind of do that. But you could mix it up a little bit and have Angry Archer or
Professor Princess.
Tron Bomb.
Professor Princess would work because a lot of the powers would overlap. Like it's late. What's the Nanosec. Nanosec has like the power to go fast, but Beautiful Joe can do that in the game. And then what was the one girl that showed up in the Swindle episode that could slow down time? Slow-mo, yeah. She has the power to slow down time, but Amaterasu can do that in the game as well, can slow down time. So some of the powers would overlap, but I think Angry Archer would work, and Professor Princess probably floating around on the pony would be a hilarious introduction. Right. And then, so yeah, I'd go with that.
Seth or Derek, do either of you play Marvel vs. Capcom?
Not really. I don't. But I know Transformers characters.
What would you like to see in a fighting game?
Double punch. And no scream.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. Yeah. I got my fists up right now, you know. I'm ready for this.
Right. Yeah, well, I got claws on mine, so.
I got guns for inside my forearms. They're not out. I don't need them to be out. Seth, who would you like to see in a Marvel vs. Capcom game?
Well, I have Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but that is irrelevant because this whole question is invalid. Because everybody knows Transformers. Transformers would only appear in a crossover with Mortal Kombat. So,
very DC true. Mortal Kombat
that already happened.
That's what I mean.
They would
be in DC versus MK, not in Marvel versus Capcom.
Well, that's, Transformers used to be.
That's
in Marvel.
Insane. I know, but they're not anymore because there's bad blood.
What about IDW versus Namco?
Okay, there you go. Now we're talking.
About Hasbro versus Mattel?
Unicron versus Jin Kazama.
Hasbro versus Mattel, you'd have Transformers fighting Ninja Turtles.
Needs to be and Unicron He-Man. Versus Galactus.
You'd have G.I. Joe versus He-Man in Hasbro versus Mattel. That would be great.
My brain just fell out of my ear.
But don't they have to be crossing over with a game company?
Shh. Mattel versus Konami. Every time, Seth. Every time.
Hasbro Interactive versus Mattel.
Yeah.
There you go. Found the loophole.
Okay, it would be Hasbro and Capcom versus Mortal Kombat and Mattel.
As long as we can put a Tekken character in there somewhere.
Is there a question 4, comma 5?
No, just a question 3 and 4. So that was 3, comma.
Oh, okay.
This is 3, period.
Yeah, this is question 3, period. I just want to throw out there, though. I actually totally, the first thing I thought of, Gog, was the first one you said, Rumble and Frenzy. I can see them in MVC3's animation style entirely. Question
and
3.
Senator Ratbat.
Yes, Senator Ratbat in the background.
I object! I'm never going to be a bat, fool!
He's not Judge Ratbat!
Yes.
I have the floor, Chairman! I have the floor!
Will the gentleman please respect...
Legislation beam!
Yeah.
The motion is passed.
That's what he says when he kills people. That's his victory quote.
Sounds like Jimmy Stewart.
So question 3, period, has nothing to do with any of this. Who would win in a fight? Predaking, the Samurai Pizza Cats, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, or Omega Supreme?
Oh my goodness.
Weigh your options carefully. Whoever actually has an answer to this, please say it.
What were my choices again?
Predaking, the Samurai Pizza Cats, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, or Omega Supreme?
Is it the Amy Jo Johnson Power Rangers?
Probably.
She's cute.
I gotta agree with that.
I'll say Supreme, just because I like the Euro G2.
I know you're lying though, because you're saying Double Punch, but since he's not a choice, you're saying
yeah,
Supreme.
He's not a choice. So I'll go with Supreme in this case.
If no one else has an answer, all I really got is like what is up with?
I say we win because it would be an epic battle of all time. So we win as the spectators.
Which Predaking is it though? Is it original G1 Predaking or Zone Predaking where they made him look all weird and?
But he had a cape then.
But his head was weird and he died really easily.
He had a brain.
I would vote for Zone Predaking if it was Zone Predaking.
Zone Predaking already lost this fight. Zone Predaking versus anime is anime wins.
I'm gonna go with Zone Predaking as well.
Cape.
That's what is up with everyone who always wants to go, like, who'd win in a fight? Like, these are all heroes. They would unite against a villain. Where are the villains in here? Okay, there's Predaking.
Predaking.
Yeah, he's not a villain. He's an anti-hero, obviously.
he's
the hero of his own story.
He's like Lobo.
Yeah. That's what. Okay, next show to use Predaking has to characterize him like Lobo. Give him a cigar. But no mouth.
Song. That's Kilowog.
Rock. Question number 4. If you were going to make a comic involving TAI from RID and G1 Grimlock living together with Dino Pope as a son, how would you write the first 13 issues?
By smashing my face against the keyboard.
What the hell?
I'd have Grimlock die in the first issue, and then the rest is AI-chan going out and, I don't know. I lost my train.
I want to throw it out there. I think when he says Dino Pope, he means that Power Core Combiner dinosaur team, because he has a Pope hat, and that was coined by Piaw, I believe, Dino Pope. Only he wrote Dino Pope in all caps, so maybe it's an acronym for something like dangerously inuistic, new, original, powerful, open source pipeline energy is the Dino Pope system.
The P should stand for Pope.
The P stands for Pope. The rest doesn't matter.
In my story, Atari Chan would show up and show AI Chan how to really be inappropriate, and then Grimlock would just be the photographer.
Click. It's silently. Doesn't say anything.
I'd have AI Chan take a bath, and then secretly Optimus Prime would be peeking over the wall, and then Skybite would pop his head out and squirt water out his mouth.
That sure is water. yeah. Thank you, TX Grimlock, for your questions. We have a listener question from TF Mad 2010 as well. He says,
Hi there. Actually, he's TF man. He's like, hi there. I have a question for everyone at WTF. Question. Have you ever seen a toy on the road? If so, what was the first thing you thought in your head? Sorry what? For the bother. TF Mad 2010.
What? Have we ever seen a toy?
Have
you
ever seen a
road?
Toy in a tree?
No, on the road.
On the road.
Sorry, this is a TF. Wow. This is in character as TF Mad. No! Not
I'll
in
make,
a tree!
I'll make this easy. No, I have never seen a toy in the road. I don't
Does
think.
Does he mean like physically in the road or like when you're on a road trip?
I would think on
like,
the road.
Are you on. When you're on the road.
I imagine this is like you're driving along and saying like, oh god, a toy! And you like swerve off the road.
And then you crash into the car in front of you.
Yeah,
it's like the squirrel from the Geico commercial, except for it's Sky Gary. Or Galaxy, or what is it?
Not Sky Gary.
Star Convoy. And then as you crash your car into a tree, he just laughs and blinks.
Well, I have seen a toy on the road. I remember at least once, long, long time ago, seeing like a teddy bear that had been run over a few times and was now getting soggy in the gutter. And the thought that went through my head was, oh, I bet some kid's really bummed out they lost their teddy bear. They're probably screwing around and it fell out the window as the car was driving along or
aww.
Something. Or maybe they have abusive parents like Raph from Prime and they took it away and threw it out the window as punishment for some minor wrongdoing like, you know, breathing too loud or something.
Whistling nostrils.
That's crime.
So while you were all mocking his question and being total pricks about it,
I've actually seen one on the road.
Well,
yeah, it's not that ridiculous of a question. Clearly, once again, we see who the man of the people here is.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure you'll get a friend request from this gentleman very soon.
Yeah.
So enjoy it.
Thank you for answering my question properly, Seth Buzzard. Friend request from TF Mad 2010. Once I saw a toy while I was on a trip, on a band trip in high school, and I bought it in California. It was a Dinobot from Beast Machines, and it was the one with the Pope hat, and everyone was all like, why are you buying Transformer? And I was like, because it's cool. And they're like, you nerd. And that was my story. We have a listener question from Alan Garou, who says, hello, Vangelis and crew. As a long-time listener and huge fan of the podcast, I've come up with some questions for all of you that I'm surprised nobody has asked before. It's time to make sure he's no longer surprised. Question one. What is the most frustrating Transformers figure you own, and why? Seth.
Most frustrating... probably Masterpiece Starscream, because I'm constantly terrified that the wings are going to break off. Or maybe Masterpiece Megatron, who I'm so terrified of breaking in half, I've never actually transformed him. Maybe Masterpiece Rodimus, just because I want to jump on that bandwagon also. And also
there's a trend
all the
here.
Other Masterpiece figures, because just because
I'm a hater,
current and future and past.
I'm a master and, hater.
And yeah, I don't know. I try not to let like toys frustrate me.
Oh man,
because
sometimes
then they're doing the exact opposite of what they're intended to do.
They're supposed to be your friends.
They show up at my doorstep.
Every now and then, I'll get a little. Yeah, every now and then I'll get a little disappointed that maybe one doesn't live up to its full potential. But yeah. Yeah, it just sucks when you have to worry about it breaking. Starscream's wings.
Gog, what about you? Most frustrating.
What's that one Dino Transformer from Beast Wars from the Japanese Beast Wars that is a Stegosaurus and he has like the flower mode thing.
Oh, him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's the one I was talking about, actually. He's the one with the Pope hat that I got in California.
That's not.
Oh, okay. I didn't make the connection there. I bought him at a convention like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. They had it super cheap. I think it was mint in package for like $5. And I got him, and I still, God, he's so fiddly to transform. And I don't hate the figure, but I think as far as that, get everything to line up properly. And I have transformers that are way more complicated than that I don't have any problem with. But for some reason, I just look at that thing and I just stare at it like, I'm not transforming you today.
And he's like, good. Start back. I don't want to do any exercise. Derek J. Wyatt, most frustrating transformer you own, if there is one.
I remember I had a similar experience with them, and now I remember way back in the beginning of the podcast we were talking about Sideburn, right? We were trying to think of Sideburn's name.
That must have been it.
There was one of those guys from Car Robots that was, or maybe a bunch of them, they were all really fiddly like that. Like you, and I think, you know, it was right after that Beast Wars Neo era too, you know, where it's like everything had to slide in place just right, and oh man, those things were kind of annoying. So
I think Sideburn's the one where the designer actually came out and said, like, yeah, that was some of my learning curves.
Yeah. Toy. Is he the one with the roof shield?
Yeah, the whole roof that is slides. Shield.
Yeah, man, that was tough. And you have to like line the arm up right. I think that's the one I'm thinking of, but
Yeah, that's Sideburn.
There were some tricky guys. Tricky guys.
That's the upcoming club exclusive freebie Sideburn, in fact.
Yeah.
Plug.
Very nice.
I don't really get overly frustrated by, like, I have toys that frustrate me, but they're not Transformers. Very few Transformers really get me that frustrated. More
You're
so
talking
like,
about your body pillows and
oh man, I hate it when I get all over my Nia body pillow and then like friggin' seams are all like, I can't handle the grind and the bump, and I'm all like, well, maybe if I put some more less bump and more grind, you stupid seam, and the seams are like, no, and I swear to you, my body pillow talks to me. It's a true story. But
believe now.
I'm really frustrated that about Crankstart because I don't like him. That's all I got, really. It's question number two. What Transformers toys, if any, do you regret not having bought?
All of them.
I want every Transformer. I don't know, Derek, is there any particular one that you passed up?
Oh, yeah, I mean, like if I was going back, I would be like not buying a Fortress Maximus, probably. You know, I would think that would, that's, I don't know.
Funny story, that's mine. Back in BotCon 2002 or 2003, someone had brought like 50 Korean Brave Maximuses and was selling them for $99, and everyone but me bought one, and I didn't, and I was like, no, I'll get them next year, it's cool, and yeah.
I heard there was one BotCon where the Hartman brothers brought out a case of G2 breakdowns and sold them for like $150 a piece too, or something. That sucks.
That would have been nice.
Actually, I think that would be my most frustrating Transformer too, actually, because I will probably never own that.
And imagine if you just bought, if like you had the foresight and you bought two of those for $300.
Why?
Seth, do you have any regrets?
Well, not counting like G1 stuff that was around when I was a kid and didn't really have income to buy stuff. Otherwise, you know, we could get crazy and be like, I wish I bought a bunch of Jetfires and kept them in the package in a
out of the sun
dark place where they wouldn't yellow so I could be a millionaire. So, you know, avoiding that sort of a sitch. Like back in when I was starting to get back into Transformers, like the late 1999, early year 2000, you could find like sealed blue G2 Grimlocks on eBay for as little as $10.
Mm.
And I always thought, I'll get one later. I'll get one later. I'll get one later. Now they're ridiculously expensive. So I regret having not gotten one when I could have for nearly nothing. So that was a huge, huge fail.
Gog, what about you? Do you have toy regrets?
Nothing huge. There were some at BotCon in 09, they had some Korean big convoys that for really cheap that I kind of regret not getting. And granted, the only reason why I didn't buy them is because I lost my ATM card. But I regret.
That's no excuse.
I regret losing my ATM card, and I kind of regret.
That's my toy.
I kind of regret. I don't even know if he might still be available for all I know. But I kind of regret not picking up Wingblade Prime Wingblade Prime from the Takara version.
You should regret that.
Yeah, because I kind of wish I would have got one, but the are those still readily for sale, or are those sold out everywhere now?
I think they at least still pop up now and then.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find one at BotCon, I think.
Yeah,
I'm sure Yahoo Auctions Japan is probably loaded up with them, but that's a whole bunch of trouble.
But they were available at retail, which was still a little pricey, but it's better than you're going to pay on the aftermarket, so kind of wish I would have gotten one when they were readily available, but it's not undoable. I'll keep an eye open.
Well, Alan Garou carries us out with one final truly thought-provoking philosophical question. If you had to give up on Transformers, what toy line would you shift your focus to, Seth Buzzard?
The flavor of the moment is very much Revoltech, but I think G.I. Joe would probably be a more long-term reply.
Alrighty. I had a feeling it was going to be... I mean, you have quite a good head start on a G.I. Joe collection, what with having a G.I. Joe collection.
Yeah, I got a lot of Joes.
Gog, what about you? Where would you go if you were giving up Transformers?
I still... My first love is transforming robots, so I'd probably take all the money from all the deluxes and stuff I bought and just buy probably the occasional Macross figure, I think.
Love Zeratex.
I still buy them as it is. Can't afford as many as I'd like because I'm buying other stuff. So if Transformers disappeared, I'd have plenty of money to afford more of them. So that would probably be where most of it would go.
All right. What about you, Derek? Where would your toy buying go with no Transformers?
I'd go into a parallel universe and buy a lot of Brave and Gal Gaigar. Maybe have like a Troop Builder, Captain Shark. Captain Shark Armada.
I want a new Captain Shark toy so badly.
Is that a legitimate answer?
It's not really Parallel Universe. It's just kind of like it's another Takara, you know, transforming toy line and the aesthetics are similar except they've got cowboy hats and stuff.
So you're saying you can't let go of your first love no matter how hard you try?
Yeah, I'll just take the next best thing.
Make up a new scenario. Completely different world I live on. I honestly don't know. Like right now, if it suddenly just had to drop it, like right now.
Oh, don't even
probably,
play.
Then probably Kamen Rider for sure.
Well, I mean, you're the most obvious out of all of us, and you're trying to make it look like there's some question to this. There's not.
Is this like we're dropping it now, or is this like we never got into it in the first place?
This is we're dropping it now.
Okay, then yeah, that's easy. I was just.
It said if you had to give it up, not if it never existed.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention. I was trying to think of like, what if I never got into Transformers in the first place? I was like, where would I be?
That would be different.
Right now it's easy. Like, I already am buying tons of Kamen Rider stuff, and also Japanese robots are like. There's a lot of other stuff that I like that's already really cool. So if someone went like, if you buy another Transformer, your fingers will explode. I'd be like, I like my fingers, so I'll buy other stuff more than Transformers, and I'll stop. Looking
which fingers?
All of them at the same time.
Oh, jeez.
So no matter what you're doing, it'll just make a mess. I'd hate if that happened.
That would not be cool.
Thank you for your questions, Alain Garou. And thank you all for listening, because unless I'm forgetting something, there's not really any other spoiler stuff to talk about except the magazine bits, and they were kind of just like, there's two pictures! I have a feeling that we'll have way more interesting movie stuff to talk about later on, and we're also running a while here. So my apologies to Derek J. Wyatt, outspoken proponent of the live-action film franchise.
Hooray for me!
Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you all for sticking with us through this wonderful torrid affair.
Call the hotline.
call the hotline. Yes, WTF hotline. Whose phone number? Hey Seth, you want to do the phone number?
I think he's gone. Where did he go?
No.
He's gonna do the phone number. Yeah, thing. I'm right. Gone.
I'll just looking at looking.
You
up
want
his
the
contact,
phone number? I'll give
contact
I'll give
list.
Number. I got a phone number for you. I got all kinds of phone numbers.
Got
what
your
kind of
phone number right here.
Want? I got piles of phone numbers. I got 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830.
What does 9830 spell?
Those aren't letters. Those are numbers. They don't spell anything.
They were they selected for a reason, surely.
They're integers.
You can spell with integers in math world. WTF zero. So thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with more podcasting good times. This is Evangelist. That was Twitter's own Derek J. Wyatt. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I don't. I'm done plugging things. Buy it all already.
I hate corporate nature. There is no more plugging. And Gog Dog, you got anything you want to plug?
318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830.
Yeah, I thought you were all into the WTF zero thing. I mean, I can drop it if you want me to drop it.
Well, I'm trying to go by my boy's advice, Seth. You know, we're trying out his theory. We're seeing if it works. The whole
if you guys are
going to
fight,
times.
I can leave.
That's okay. I'm just. I don't want anything
we're
to.
We're all gentlemen here.
I don't want anything to get left in the dust. You know, that doesn't need to be left in the dust because I don't got a good feather. Seth Buzzard, you got anything you want to plug?
It's not appropriate for this program.
Talking about a butt plug?
What's
just had to take it there, didn't you?
What's that?
Nexus Prime?
Bring a guy on to be a guest in your podcast.
Yeah, it is spastic or anything.
If only Charlie Sheen was around when Nexus Maximus came out. They could have.
Right, it's Maximus, not Prime.
It was. They retconned it.
I'm so confused. The podcast is over.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.